The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Right this way, folks. You're now entering the courting room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in Progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, Mabella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
EFW in Progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are likely to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
We here was simply born to soak cork. Come, Luigi.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all the night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are all corks the same?
No. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grave.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in Progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
Yeah, I'll never forget, this one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Patriots are 4-1, guys.
It's gloat over beating the Jets week here.
Well, and it shouldn't be?
I didn't say that.
Already, he's like, you know,
well, God opened last week with his Jets week.
God forbid Patriots fans are excited about beating the Jets.
I'm very excited.
I'm thrilled, and everybody's thrilled. With you, there's nothing better than beating the Jets.
Well, winning
nothing
the Super
better.
Bowl, but
well, as far as the regular season
goes. And you can't beat
goes,
the Jets in the Super Bowl.
As far as the regular season goes, there's no better win than when you beat the Jets.
I agree.
That's exactly what the Patriots did, a 9-point win, 30-21, keeping the 30-point streak alive this season.
By a hair.
Yeah, I thought it was a good win. We're going to get into it big time here for the next 2 hours. PFW in Progress, the email address is webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-298-0398. And if I can ever get this stupid computer going, maybe we can take some calls. Right now it's all hung up. I might have to move over
to the computer.
Tell my
kids not to use the word stupid, Fred.
Yeah, that's a naughty word.
Well, it's okay when you're
only referring to the fans.
You know, when you're talking about computers, it's okay to use stupid.
How long are you going to complain about that computer before you just get a new computer?
I don't know. I came in today. You know, these guys from EEI, they come in and it's just like
porn.
They don't care about anything.
I think the porn bogs it down.
Yeah, I think the porn really hurts.
They get all those pop-ups and that spam.
They leave anything on up there? What do we got? What do we got?
So, all right. So, guys, you know, big win. I happen to think, and I know you probably disagree, that small as it might be, the defense showed a little progress.
Oh, I don't disagree at all.
Oh, okay.
I think they showed their first actual significant progress. Some people spun the Oakland win as some progress. I didn't really see it. This week, I think you saw some progress. I think they did a good, solid job against the run. I think there was some pressure. I think all the way around. I didn't think receivers were running as wide open down the field.
Absolutely.
It's baby steps, whatever you want to call it in terms of this process, but they definitely got better.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
Unless we look back and the Jets' offense is just terrible. But
well, you're chopping about 150 yards of total offense off the average. You mean 3 for 11, I think, on third down. And 21 points, 7 of which came really because of a long kickoff return. So, yeah, I think that's significant progress. Now, it's one game, and Andy's right. It might say more about the Jets' offense than the Patriots' defense.
Well, that's the Fred Kirsch theory. I mean, I'll assess the Jets' offense after the season.
Well, I'll assess the Patriots' defense going forward. And if they go back to 500 yards a game the next couple of weeks, then I'll say, well, that was probably because of the Jets' offense that game. But if it is the start of some improvement, then you can, you'll point back to that Jets game and say that's where it all began. They came together that day because they played better. They played better.
Where I disagree with you is how great Gary Guyton and Brandon Spikes are.
You don't think that they did well against the run?
As a team, yes. Those guys, no.
Okay.
Do you agree with that, Paul?
Yeah, I just think they were okay against that. I thought, you know, the Jets ran the ball the way they wanted to run the ball.
Yeah, I'm a little more positive about it than that. But those two players individually, I didn't think. Jeez, I think Brandon Spikes has the coolest post-play celebration for non-plays that I've ever seen.
Then I don't think that you saw what I saw with Guyton, because I saw him in the backfield chasing down plays.
I saw him on roller skates.
Near the line of scrimmage.
I didn't see anybody in the backfield, really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
I saw him look like he literally was on roller skates.
I saw him, you know, taking on blockers and maybe not making the play, but allowing other guys to make the play. You know, he had 9 tackles. I don't know. You know, they weren't all in the secondary. I think he had a good
name
game.
Name the big ones for me.
I saw one in the back where it was a play for no gain on a running play.
He may have, because you know, that's where I think did a good job. They had 10 plays of 3 yards or under in the running game. Yeah, that's decent.
He came all the way from his left side and got the guy from behind as the play went, you know, to the Patriots' right, and was like, you know, if it was 1 yard, it was, you know,
Did he make the play, or did they stop him on the other side and he just cleaned
up? But that's all right. I mean, he's active.
That's not him making a play.
He beat a block and got to the guy. You know, you need that too.
Well, did he chase it down from the backside, or did he beat a block and get to the guy?
But he got all the way from his position, and it was still a no-yard gain.
That means the people on that side did their job. Okay. That's who did their job on that play.
Well, fine, but you're working as a team, right? It's team defense.
Exactly. But I just don't put him out there as the, you know, poster boy for they were better this week.
I think he took on the role of, you know, the on-field communicator well.
Sure.
I think that's added, you know, that's, you know, having to do that and, you know, do your job on the field. I think you got to give him some credit for that.
I'll give him credit for that. He took over those reins. That's not easy, because it's always
It could have been very easily to say, well, you know, Patriots had a bad day in defense because Gerard Mayo wasn't in the game, but they didn't have to say that because they didn't have a bad day. And I think part of that is because, you know, guys like Guyton stepped up.
Okay.
You know, we talked, Haynesworth got to play. Now, he didn't play a lot, and he didn't register a tackle, but I think when he was in there, you could see a difference. You could see that the Jets could not run in his direction. I really believe that.
I think he makes more
of
a difference than
Guyton does. Did I miss the 85 yards that Sean Green had?
What?
Did I just, like, have an aberration that the other guy
ran for 85 yards? Of those yards happened when Haynesworth was on the field?
Well, I can tell you one thing. When he came into the game in the second quarter, the Jets went right down the field and put their first points on the board, the drive that he came in the game. In the second half, they similarly drove, and then he asked out. Well, he didn't. Absolutely nothing. Spikes, I'll give you, because Andy brought up the stats of some negative runs. Haynesworth did nothing in that game.
Yeah,
he played 20 plays and did absolutely nothing.
I really disagree with
except
that.
Except for laying on the ground after getting blocked.
I disagree with that. I saw nowhere to go on either side of him.
Well, then how did they get 85 yards rushing?
Yeah. I'm telling you.
How did Sean Green rush for 100? 85 yards, and the team rushed for 100 if they had nowhere to go?
In his direction, there was nowhere to go.
Okay.
I watched it carefully. And, you know, you could just look at the stats and say, oh, they had 85 yards.
No, I watched the game.
Yeah.
The stats actually.
Well, that's what you keep saying. How'd they get 85 yards? You know.
Because they consistently got 4 and 5 yards up the middle all day. They didn't run wide.
No. Not when Haynesworth was in there. I'm sorry. Not when Haynesworth was
in
there.
Okay. So I imagine that second quarter touchdown drive that Haynesworth came in for, and the Jets went through him like a knife through butter.
Not up the middle. Up the middle.
So they ran wide.
You know, not,
that's what you're telling me. They ran wide in the game.
You know, I remember seeing the plays, Paul, and we'll look at it again. I'm telling you, he made a difference when he was in there, and it was hard.
You're the only one who thinks that.
No, he's been
roundly criticized for his play on Sunday.
Well, I think that he was criticized more for asking out. He had that cramp and the fact that he didn't play a lot. But when he was in there, and I actually heard Tony Maserati.
He played the same amount of snaps he's played every other game.
If anyone was going to criticize, it would be, you know, the show that you're on. The one that each guy tries to be more negative than the other.
That's the whole idea of the show. But anyway, even Maserati said, look, you can criticize him, and I will, for, you know, being a tub of goo and not being out there and not being in shape. But when he was out there, Maserati said he could see a difference. This is what he said yesterday.
Fine.
And I'm not saying it because Tony's saying it. I'm saying it because while I was watching the game, I noticed it. So, yeah, I want him out there more.
I don't.
That's the beef I have with him. He's been here for, what, 8 weeks now? I don't know how long he's been.
I think
and
Kyle
he's
Love
not
is
in shape.
I think Kyle Love has played better. I want Kyle Love on the field. I don't want him on the field in place of Kyle Love.
I don't think
if that's negative. Yeah. Sign me up.
No, that's fine. But I don't think that Kyle Love can do what Haynesworth can do. The problem is Haynesworth doesn't do it enough. You know,
I just wish that I had like graders like this in school. I wish my coaches thought this of me as an athlete, that I could go out and play 20 plays and show up on one and be considered making an impact.
But that's the problem. You're right there, Paul.
I just wish that I had these people grading me.
The problem with Haynesworth is he gets low grades because of that. There's no doubt about it. I'm not arguing with you there.
If he went out there and played 20 plays and made an impact on 15 of them, I wouldn't be giving him low grades. He was invisible, Fred.
Mm. Yeah, see, I disagree there.
On the plays he was on the field, he did very little.
I disagree with that. Moving on to the offensive side of the ball, the Jets are a good defensive team. And, you know, I think the Patriots did pretty well offensively against a good defensive team. Welker had his catches, I think 5 for 124, something like that. But the big thing was how they ran the ball on the Jets. And, you know, Rex Ryan can come out after the game and say all he wants about, well, we were expecting the pass. I'm sorry. You know, you got to be ready for both.
Right. That excuse doesn't fly with me, because whether you expect the pass or not, sooner or later, you just got to stop the run. They're running it. Stop the run.
Right.
As someone who got screamed at by him, I don't think he was making an excuse. I think he was tipping his cap to Bill Belichick. I didn't take that as an excuse whatsoever.
What?
I think he was crediting Bill Belichick for being creative. He was expecting.
What the hell is creative about handing the ball to Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
It's way out of character for what they normally do to close out.
They
did
it last week.
They did
against the Raiders. They ran the ball well.
They didn't. They weren't in this situation last week. They didn't have a 6-point lead in the 4-minute offense last week.
They ran the ball well. They weren't.
But that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, how did the Patriots generally close out games? Generally by throwing, and they went against their norm. And I don't know, if you want to take it as an excuse.
I thought it was an excuse.
Let's beat him up. I don't care.
I thought it was an excuse, to not be able to stop the run when you're supposed to be this tough team.
I don't think he was excusing. I think he was calling himself out. If that's making an excuse, that's fine. I don't think I saw the same game that you did. That's all. I mean, there's about four things that you said. Andy, I let Andy take the first one. I went on this. I just didn't see the same things.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to switch computers because I can't get a connection to the internet here. So I can't get emails and I can't get the call screener. So I'm going to have to move over in a second in order to get emails. Okay, so you don't think they played well?
I think they played ridiculously well.
Oh.
I started off the whole thing by saying, I don't know how you cannot take it as a defensive improvement. 3 for 11 on third downs, that's good defense.
How do you think the offense did as a whole?
The offense was fine. Not one of their better games, I wouldn't say. No.
But I agree with that, but I think they found a way for that.
They found a way to grind it through.
Some. I mean, they had a touchdown that became an interception. There's no credit to the Jets for that.
Those plays happen.
And
every team drops balls.
You missed
balls.
On deep. No, I know. But when they're at their best and putting up 500 yards, they don't. They catch those. And the deep balls to Hernandez, they hit one of those.
Yeah, the touchdown.
That's how you get to 500 yards. You don't drop balls and get to 500 yards.
Andy's right. The Jets did nothing to cause that interception. And that was a big play. But overall, I thought the Jets are a good defensive team, and I thought they bothered the Patriots. I thought one guy who hasn't really been talked about and they missed in this game was Woodhead, because not that I think that he's great at blitz pickup, because I don't think he's great at it, but the Jets bothered them with some blitzes, and they haven't really been bothering them with blitzes lately. The last couple of times they've played, it's been conventional pressure out of normal sets. They blitzed, and they got there, and they had guys run. They had some runaway rushers that they don't normally have against the Patriots. And I got to think that's at least partly because Woodhead wasn't out there, and he's normally part of that. So I think that was sort of an underrated aspect of the game. Four sacks. I think they had two more called back on penalties.
Mm-hmm.
At least one more that I can think of. I think they had two. So that wasn't I don't think it was a great performance by the offense.
Was it a sack or just a hit when Ridley cut him and he went over him and then got right back up? Did that end up a sack?
I don't remember.
Because that, to me, is one that...
Yeah, that wasn't...
It was a sack. I think Brady saw the guy go down, and then he kind of moved out, and then I think he lost track of the guy,
but
and
you
the
just,
guy got
to me,
him
you
behind.
Can't fault
that's
Ridley,
not,
and Woodhead
yeah, that
had
nothing
the
to do with Woodhead.
Right.
And, yeah, like I said, I don't
he's
think Woodhead...
cut him, right. And
I don't think Woodhead is great at blitz pickup. That's what Woodhead does pretty much
no,
every
but
time.
Even that
I'm talking
saying,
about
he's not
mentally
bigger.
when there's a guy.
If like, he were bigger, he might get in his way and it might take longer.
Yeah.
He's smaller than Ridley. He's going
to
cut that guy.
But that
no
to me
doubt.
Is, that's a physical thing. Like Jamal Westerman, is that his name? Westerman?
Yes.
He came twice, I think.
I'd never heard of him until he was
completely
sacked
unblocked. That to me it generally doesn't happen against the Patriots. You don't see guys coming in scot free unless Brady knows they're coming. And obviously when you get sacked, you don't know they're coming. So. Those are just things that I don't normally see out of the Patriots offense. The couple of drops that you mentioned, a couple of sacks that I thought were uncharacteristic, and a lot of penalties. And matter of fact, they benefited from a lot of penalties on the Jets, which
sure.
might have made it even worse offensively.
Yeah, and I think none of them were bad calls, really. I think the Patriots tight ends were giving the Jets trouble in coverage.
Well, Hernandez being back was big for the offense.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. He comes back off a knee injury, and maybe it was the Roy Green thing we talk about, is they just sent him deep early in the game. And
like three times. Yeah.
They had a chance. I mean, it's not like he was blatantly – he couldn't catch up to the ball. That's why the chance wasn't
right.
– and even he said, maybe without this knee brace, I could catch up to the ball. But I thought that was an interesting twist, and he had – 5 catches for 50 yards,
and they
or whatever.
Were big catches.
And he was funny
it.
Too because it seemed like
he had that touchdown.
It seemed like he got shaken up a little bit late in the first half. He banged right on the knee and he left, and then he seemed like he was better after that.
Well, Phil,
because I don't think he was running well early in the game on those deep balls. I don't think he was really open, and I don't think he was running well.
I know a lot of fans were all over Phil Simms, and we'll get into that later. But
that
one of the things that I heard Phil Simms say that I agreed with was it looks like. As the game progressed, Hernandez got more and more confident with the knee.
Yeah.
And he looked better.
I think that's accurate.
But I think it may have actually gotten looser or they did something. Because I don't think it was just mental.
He might have had a bad...
He was limping and then
he might have needed the brace adjusted. You know, it might have been on too tight or something.
It's like when you get a bad tape job sometimes.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And it was a new brace because I told you in practice on Thursday when he went out, he did not have a big brace on. He had a smaller brace. With a sleeve.
Was it called Donjoy?
But the Donjoy is, I'm assuming, the one they used during the game. The
that's what
one.
It looked like he had on.
He had that
game,
during the game. He didn't on Thursday, so there may have been an adjustment there where he went from a smaller brace to a bigger brace based on, you know, actual contact.
Other guys that had, you know, Ocho Cinco still not. It seems like.
Two steps forward.
In the second quarter, they'll give him a couple passes.
But this was hurry up. This was supposedly they didn't comfortable with him. He catches two passes, a great one on the sideline,
and
then he has to ruin it with a false start.
And that's
Hernandez also false start.
2 weeks in a row, by the way. That's the only production he has is in the 2 minute drill at the end of the
first half. But the crowd went nuts. It had a chance to be like this nice moment. And
now I heard some people say that they thought.
Can you imagine the amount of excitement it'll be when he gets the 10 receptions?
Or when he catches a big play?
I heard somebody say that they thought that the crowd reaction to his catch was sarcastic.
That was Eric.
I didn't think it was sarcastic.
I didn't.
The crowd is dying for him to be a part of the offense.
Right.
I didn't sense any sarcasm.
And why
at
wouldn't
all.
You? I don't see any reason for ill will towards him.
None whatsoever. I agree.
He hasn't been a jerk or.
Did Eric really say that? I didn't hear him say that.
Yeah.
He may
there's
have
a Bronx
I
cheer
didn't hear
or
it from him.
I didn't think it was a Bronx cheer.
I heard it
cheer
from somebody else on the radio.
I think it was a
maybe it was
mom and
but
dad type.
I didn't take it that way.
Build some confidence. All right, now we're going. And we weren't, but. What the hell is going on over there?
Well, Kevin's trying to get us internet. It's there's something going
Does
on.
Does that mean we're not on?
No, we're on.
Oh, okay.
But I can't get emails right now, and I can't see who's on the phone.
Can you hear me? John in L.A. is on the phone.
Oh.
I can see it on that screen right there, it says.
Why don't you click it, and we'll talk to him. All right, let's go to the web, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And,
that's drop.
Hit
air.
Air. Andy with his T-Rex. No, the other side.
With
other air.
With
other
his
air.
T-Rex arms.
There it is, right there. Hit it. John, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Woo. How was the build-up before you got on the air there?
Very exciting. I was going to say that I thought the defense, the reaction to how the defense played is a little bit overrated. There was like a drop by Connor. There was the very close play by Plaxico, and all of a sudden you put those back and on third down we were about 50%.
Yes, but baby steps.
I mean, I was happy. It was progress, but yeah. Everyone's like kind of overreacting, I think.
Well, oh, yeah, I don't. I think everyone's calling it baby steps, but it's nice to see some positive.
Yeah,
I saw no positives the first four games.
I think there's most games, not every team is as efficient as the Patriots are in offense. Most teams will make those two or three offensive mistakes that, oh, if they could have had them back, it would have been a big play or whatever. So you kind of expect those in every game. I don't think the Patriots' improvement was giant. No way. But you saw a little progress. It's, you know, at least a little hope. You know, it's better than when they went from Miami week one to week two, where it was like, well, it's to say, you know, they're giving up 500 yards. You know, who cares? There's no progress to be seen. I think we can see some progress. And like Paul said, we'll see. If the Jets just, you know, soil the bed for the rest of the season on offense, well, maybe it's not such a big deal.
On the other hand, I thought the offense played poor, like made a lot of mistakes, and still were one Aaron Hernandez dropped from hanging 37 points on the Jets.
Right. So
I thought that was, there were a lot of mistakes. It was dropped. There were penalties. But I thought that was pretty encouraging that way.
And, you know, the great thing about it is when you play a team like the Jets that, you know, their strength is pass defense, that you can hand the ball off to Ben Jarvis Greenellis and run the way they did. I think if there's one positive, the biggest thing to come out of that game, that's it.
Well, I also think a positive, and it's kind of a negative for the Jets. I'm not sure the middle of the Jets' defense is all that good. And with what Welker has become, which is a more dangerous weapon, and with the two tight ends, I think you match up a little better against them right now. So you definitely would if Ocho could play, if Ocho were more than he is. But the Jets have two very good corners. They seem to think that Eric Smith is good. I don't personally think he's good. So that I see these matchups with Eric Smith where I don't like him, and they appear comfortable with him. I said to you when they, you know, Torrey Smith yeah. running down the field with Eric Smith, to me is, did that sound funny for a minute?
That's okay.
Is not a good matchup. So the Patriots, to me, can now challenge the middle of the field better with the tight ends and with what Welker's doing. I'm not sure the Jets are a great defense. I'm not sold on their overall package and how they're playing. So I'm not. The Patriots' offense I've never had any worries about, so it's hard for me to feel better about them coming off this performance.
Well, it looks like right now the Jets, you know, you might be right. They might be living off their laurels a little bit, and really they're relying on their linebackers and Revis.
Right.
Well,
I think Cromartie's a pretty good corner.
Yeah.
I mean, he got beat by Dion. Bad matchup. I don't ever want Cromartie on a little receiver who can move quickly, because that's not his matchup. His matchup is, theoretically, Ocho. I think he'd be a very good matchup. If Ocho were relevant, that would be a good battle. Unfortunately, he's not relevant right now.
And I like Cromartie said, you know, I peaked just for a second, and he went the other way.
That's what happened with those little jitterbugs. You can't keep with them. Yeah. They're a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I think the Jets played reasonably well on defense on Sunday. I don't know. This is not the defense that they had 2 years ago, and they weren't last year what they were 2 years ago either. I feel like they could they have some things to do. I think they bothered the Patriots offensively more so than any of the previous four teams. That played the Patriots.
Oakland and Buffalo stink on defense. I don't think much of them.
You can make the comment they could have had 37. They also could have had 20.
Right.
There was some plays that went to Patriots. I mean, you know, how many third down penalties did the Jets get? At least four. Successful third downs for the Jets defense that ended up being penalties and conversions. Those are huge plays. I think you can look both ways. I thought that, to me, it looked a little bit, for the first time all season offensively for the Patriots, it looked a little bit different. It didn't look quite as sharp and smooth. I thought there was some penalties that the Patriots committed, and I thought there was some, you know, some really close turn. You know, there could have been another turnover on Branch, if not overturned by replay. So there were some key plays that went in the Patriots' favor, and they took advantage.
One of those bad 440-yard days they're due these
years. Oh, yeah. No, listen, the Patriots' offense is going to move the ball and score on anybody. I don't care who you are defensively. The Patriots' offense is going to have the edge in that. I just thought it looked a little different to me than it has in the past.
Thanks for the call, John in L.A. John was on the blog during the game, and at one point he commented that he saw a certain player, forget what it was, and I said, oh, was he in plain sight? So I got him a little plug on the blog.
Well done. Nice plug.
John is our in-house writer for TBS, and the In Plain Sight show. That's on USA. Sorry.
I knew TBS didn't sound right. Yeah.
Great plug.
It's on the USA Network.
Plugging their competitor.
In Plain Sight. Bruins were at the game with the cup.
Yeah, I missed it.
I was a little disappointed in the fan reaction to that. I think people were late getting to the seats because it was such a beautiful day out yesterday that I was hoping the crowd would be a little louder than it was.
I missed it. It sounded pretty cool.
Yeah.
It
was loud from down here, and I know people had said that was about as loud as it got all day, but I didn't.
Really?
I didn't see it. So, Andy and I were in the middle of finishing up here and to get upstairs, and I was kind of bummed out about that I missed that. That seemed pretty cool.
Yeah.
I saw the photo that we put in the paper with Bill. Looked like Giddy school. I mean, I thought that was one of the coolest photos we've had in a while. How excited Bill seemed to be. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you see? Can I know if you get the pages?
Oh,
the
I saw
photos.
I see everything in that paper. I don't miss a thing.
Yeah. All right. So now what do we got? Somebody put these tickets in front of me. What are we doing with these tickets?
We are going to give away 4 packs of tickets to the UMass UNH Colonial Clash. Is that what we're dubbing it?
It's the Colonial Clash. Right. It's next Saturday, October 22nd.
Is that what the ticket says?
Yep. Here at Gillette Stadium, 3:30 o'clock, UNH. against UMass. So if you're a UNH alum or a UMass alum, or you just want to see some good college football.
Then you go to like BU or Northeastern.
Right. Here at Gillette Stadium.
It's kind of a preview of what's to come, as UMass will be calling this home next year.
Right. They're going to be playing all their home games here. So now, what do you have to do in order to win?
An interest in them.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you want to have a contest?
I don't know. How are we doing this? We're giving away
4 tickets each day for the next 3 days.
Okay.
The first will be the first caller who can tell me Paul Perillo's mother's name. She's also forget it. Just go with that. If you can tell me Paul Perillo's mother's name.
Why are you making these obscure trivia questions?
I don't know. I thought we were just going to give them away, and he wants some contest, so.
Yeah. If someone wants them, call up and tell us
if you
want
tell
them.
Us a woman's name, we'll give you the tickets.
All right, so we'll give.
Or if you take a good shot at Eric.
At some point when we get a.
I think that's why the numbers are down.
Everything technically right here.
Not enough.
We don't have enough shots. Eric's not on the show anymore. Fred and I talked about this upstairs. Eric's not on the show anymore, and we're not taking shots at him.
We don't have a foil.
The listeners don't like it.
Yeah. Could be.
So, all right. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
That's interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
You ask.
How come the only time you give out the phone number is the time when people can't call it?
And we listened.
They can't call. That line's busy.
Why do you have to tell everybody there's only one line?
The phone line has been upgraded to 4 lines. Call us at 508-298-0398.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Kevin was nice enough to print out a bunch of emails because I know they're coming in. So we'll get to those in a sec. And, you know, despite Andy and Paul's best efforts, I'm still excited about the win. On Sunday, I still think it was a great win for the Patriots. Much
what
needed.
Are you talking about?
Now 2-1 in the AFC East.
Don't lump me in him with him.
Oh yeah, because you're so positive.
I said the defense took nice strides forward.
Don't
lump
me in with anything negative off that game.
Our listener consensus, Andy, says that you are the most negative person. You've taken over the negative.
Inherently, I think I am. I think that's true.
You are the, you know, it used to be Negativino,
but that is just in everyday life. That's got nothing to do with the Patriots,
right?
Paul, what did I say to you about my son's second soccer game?
He's not special.
Oh, God.
He sucks.
That's terrible.
He's awful.
Come on.
Other kids know how to run and kick. He's playing with the grass. He's listening to conversations on the sideline. He pulled a string out of his shorts and was flying it around
can
like
you
it was
imagine,
an airplane.
Can you imagine that he is critical of his, what, four-year-old son?
Four.
I can't imagine it. Son. I just think it's sad.
Yeah. I don't say it to him. Just saying it to our listeners. Yeah.
That puts me a few rungs up the ladder from him in terms of negativity because I have no problem with
I don't
Will,
care
Will's
about
games.
Talent. I have no issue with talent.
Will's not
I just
the best player
focus.
On the field, believe me.
Focus is my only issue. He wanted to play soccer. Now focus. Play soccer. Don't listen to conversations on the sideline. Play.
He's four.
Well, then he shouldn't have wanted to play soccer.
Oh, for God's sake. I had a rough weekend. Paul noticed I have a big laceration on my hand.
I noticed you tore ligaments in your thumb.
I was putting up that fence. I got it up, by the way.
I'm glad you can
but
get
I had
it up.
I had to cut a couple panels to size because the posts were already in the ground, and the company that made the old fence is out of business, so I had to get the closest one. They're just a little bit bigger than the old one, so I was cutting it, and I was using this flexible saw, and it came out and cut my hand. So then later in the day, I went to the movies and missed a step and fell down the stairs.
At your age, you're lucky you didn't break a hip. Did you actually go down?
Yeah, I went down. But I twisted an ankle, but it wasn't amazing. You know,
I was going to say, you haven't been limping right now.
No, it feels fine now. You know, and I banged my left knee, too.
Did That's anybody a
little,
help you or anything?
A little sore. No, the usher, she actually laughed. She goes, oh, people do that all the time. Well, you know.
Then maybe
there's
maybe
a light
flaw
your stairs
here, right.
Or something, you know? Anyway, so that I had a rough Saturday.
What'd you see?
Ides of March,
Never
the George Clooney movie.
Oh, yeah, I heard it's pretty
one.
Good. Best president ever or something?
A lot of potential, but I think it fell short. So, anyway.
So, Brandon Merriweather?
Did you see him last night?
No, but did Jaws actually say, what the hell is Brandon Merriweather doing?
Yeah. Oh, he made an absolutely stupid play that he should be fined for. Guys on the ground, okay, and he fell, made the catch, kind of rolling on the ground, you know, still in play because he hasn't been touched yet. So another bear comes and clearly touches him down, all right? Meanwhile, you know, a lion is standing by the pile. You know, Merriweather does one of his, lowers his head and rams right into him. You know, it's unbelievable. Just a stupid play.
So it wasn't even the touchdown.
Did he get a penalty?
No, he didn't. He didn't get a penalty. He should have.
The officials are just so bad.
Yeah, they really are.
Just a stupid play, you know.
He's not very good, is he?
And then he got, on the early Calvin Johnson touchdown, he got made to look foolish.
But you think he looks good because you don't see every play now. So from afar, he's a good safety.
I didn't know. All right. Kevin is being nice enough to print out emails for us at webradio@patriots.com. And
so he has internet on the other side of this wall?
I guess he's got internet. Yeah, he's shaking his head yes.
Yeah, the hardwire on this computer seems to be working. And the most important one is the stream, and I think that seems to be working.
Well, it must
be
the router down here or something, right?
Yeah, I called them, and they said they were on the way. I told them we were on the air, and it was urgent, so...
They really seem to be Russian.
This week's Keep Talk is brought to you by FanTab. All right. So webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Let's get to them now, shall we? Alex from Philly. I first want to say any win over the Jets is good win, and I'm glad to see those guys are circling the toilet bowl drain. Also, I love this balanced approach on offense. I hope it's not just a scheme thing these past couple of weeks, because I think this should be our approach to every game. I disagree with that, but anyway. Paul, you would too, right?
I was kind of looking at Andy talking about the
Do you
circle
think that
the drain
Patriots
comment?
Should be balanced every week.
Oh no,
right. I'm with Bill Belichick. I'm for
whatever works
that
against.
Week.
Yeah, I like that. There's a lot of things to like about Belichick as a coach. The best one is his penchant for being a game plan coach.
That said, Benny did have a very good game.
He played
a lot
great.
Of those 8 yard runs where I generally think he gets 4 yard runs.
We talk about Welker looking faster and quicker than last year. I think Benny looks faster than he was last year, don't you?
Not
Maybe a little stronger
no,
than he was last year?
No,
I do.
He's got the good stuff
He's
too.
He's got big arms.
He's got the good stuff too.
Did that big boxing regimen in the offseason.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I just thought he maximized plays. We always question that. Does he really get what you could get? And maybe Ridley gives you something else. Well, Ridley came back to reality with his 1.9 a carry, whatever
right.
it was. And I thought Benny showed a little spark, showed a little burst.
And that's the
there.
Thing. Hey, Rex, how come you could stop Ridley? You know? if you were so geared up for the pass, how come when Ridley was in, you could stop
him? The end
him?
Of the game. Green Ellis was in.
I let it go because I just figured I'm just going to get made fun
maybe,
of again.
Maybe if Ridley had been on the field, they would have stopped him in that situation too, and they would have had to throw.
He wasn't.
Oh, you mean if you have an experienced running back, they can't stop him.
He wasn't excusing the 136 yards that Green Ellis had.
He was talking about the.
He was talking about the last drive. That's it.
I mean, if you told me that we would beat the
Ritter,
Jets,
I like how you just started talking to Rex Ryan in a mid sentence. Hey, Rex, how come?
I mean, if you told me that we would beat the Jets or win any game for that matter with Brady throwing just one TD, I would have laughed in your face. Do you think the competition between running backs has pushed law firm to step his game up and be, dare I say, explosive? As for the defense, I don't want to use the word, the I word yet, which is improvement, at the risk of jinxing them, but I like what I saw. All right, guys, as usual, keep up the good work and go Pats.
Use the word improvement.
Yeah.
They showed improvement. Don't be afraid.
I think you can use the I word.
Now you got to build on it. Like all the players said, stuff you need to build on week to week.
Right. And you know what was really...
Because they got a long ways to go.
But don't you think that, I mean, I don't know how long Mayo's going to be out, but wouldn't it be great if he stepped back onto a defense that was better than the one he left? That would be awesome, because then, now they take the leap.
Yeah, assuming he's not the reason they were worse
than
the
No, I'm not saying he is,
and that's
but
why,
even bringing that up
that's
is
why you're the clear-cut That's why you're the clear-cut most negative.
You just said the defense. Wouldn't it be great if the defense is better without Mayo?
No, right. Better than when he left.
I'll channel my
so
inner.
So then it's better without Mayo.
No, the improvements that they made this week would have been even more had he been on the field. But
probably because they also got other guys.
See them
back.
Making them without
right?
him too.
Lee Bodden was
Lee
playing.
Bodden
Kyle returned. Arrington was playing.
Yeah.
James Ahedebo has been slid into that next tryout slot at the safety position. Maybe he's better than the others.
And he played well. I thought he played well in
is
this game.
Is he concussed?
Game.
He had a big hit at the end where he went off. He kept shaking
ESPN
his head.
ESPN Boston referred to it as a stinger.
Oh, okay.
But I do not know if that's accurate.
Because he was shaking his head. That's all. I just kept like he was trying to shake something
saw
off.
The same thing. Yeah, absolutely. But he I thought
oh,
he
talked yesterday.
I thought
so
he played
okay.
I thought he played reasonably well in the game. I thought a couple of the third down plays that were big stops, he was the guy that was looked like he was most responsible for the stop. One on Keller on a catch, he immediately tackled him short of the first down, and one on Curley that I thought was more on Curley than anything Ahedebo did. That Curley just broke his route off too soon. But he was right where he was supposed to be at the sticks and made sure that he made the tackle. Very un-Brandon Merriweather-like.
That's a good tie-in to our ticket giveaway here. James Ahedebo
from UMass grad.
UMass.
Yep. Yep.
And the CAA, Paul's football conference of choice back when he followed low-level football.
Hey, it is the SEC of the 1AA level.
We no longer do the show Shop Talk, which was our pro shop show. But Peter in Texas has kind of a pro shop question, so let's get to it. What is the name of the throwback cap Jonathan Kraft was wearing Sunday at the Jets game? Gray flannel looking with a large Pat Patriot logo. I'd like to order one from the Pro Shop. I don't know. Maybe if the Pro Shop people are listening, we can find that out. Also, do the Pats make the Cowboys wear their blue jerseys Sunday instead of the white jerseys the Cowboys wear at home? It's thought the blue jerseys are bad luck for the Cowboys.
I don't think they will. I think the Patriots will wear blue at
right.
home. That's what they do, right?
I guess.
But he's right. The email is right. Yeah. I mean, for years and years, I think that's kind of a thing of the past, but the Cowboys used to never want to wear their blue shirts, and a lot of home teams used to make them do so just because they thought it was bad. I remember the way back when, Andy will love this, the 1980 NFC Championship game, they played at Philadelphia, and the Eagles wore white to make the Cowboys wear blue. And
it
worked.
Did it work?
It worked.
Well, I'll tell you what's bad luck, having Tony Romo as your quarterback.
Let's see. Dan the Man writes in. Does
IT's really flying down here, by the way.
Does clipping not
Kevin
mean
Collins
anything
getting
anymore?
Things done.
The what? I missed it. Sorry.
Does clipping not mean anything anymore? I'm talking about the play that Sean Ellis blasted LT, then LT clipped Ellis's legs to prevent him from going after Sanchez. The result was a touchdown. Can defenses do anything anymore? I actually don't remember the last time that ref called clipping in the last two seasons. Yes, we have been on the benefit side of that side, too. That was San Diego game causing Tolbert to fumble by Wilfork, but LT was just too obvious. I'm frustrated. I want to see some good defensive player like plays like a few years ago. If I only want to see offensive scores, I'd prefer the NBA. And why didn't Taylor Price play in the Jets game? So...
I'm going to start a new track. The Shane Vereen and Taylor Price track.
Well, I told you.
Why people are totally infatuated with the whereabouts of those two guys based on the offensive production is beyond me.
No sooner did, you know, Green Ellis have a good run than someone on the blog said, where's Vereen? It's like, can we just focus on the guys that are out there on the field? Now,
but
Taylor Price,
who is on the field that's not doing really well?
Right,
I mean, Ocho?
Right.
Is that it?
Right.
I mean, who like, should Vereen be playing over Benny right now? Or Woodhead?
No.
Or, you know?
I think the Price thing is twofold. He's obviously a guy that we've talked a lot about. There's interest in him. He's flashed a little bit in the practice field preseason game. But also, when was the last time you remember a regular player going two games being active but not playing?
I mean, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen often, but it can happen to a wide receiver who doesn't play on special teams.
No, I know, but.
You know what I'm saying?
And we're now finding out that he's legitimately the 46th man on the roster.
Well, not only you're probably finding out if they didn't have injuries, he wouldn't be active. I think he's a candidate to be a healthy inactive, in other words. Whereas a lot of the other guys that are inactive for a reason. Because as Bill likes to say, if they're dressed, we'll play them. And that's 2 weeks in a row they didn't play him, and he was dressed. So the other thing about clipping.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why you haven't seen a lot of clipping penalties recently is because that's not clipping. I think the guy might be thinking of tripping. I think. I'm not sure. Clipping is when you block someone in the back. You know, that's the old school term was clipping. Now they just call it illegal block in the back all the time. That's clipping.
Right.
The play on LT, he was going out for a pass and I think got a little surprised by Sean Ellis, who completely cleaned his clock and give LT credit. He rolled, which is a way to block. And he bothered Ellis enough to allow Sanchez to make a pass. That's not a penalty. He didn't trip him.
By the way, did you see the one play? It was early in the game. Sanchez got hit after the pass and he was sitting on the ground and Ellis walked by him. And Sanchez looked up quick and put his hand out, like, to get help. And Ellis just walked by. And like, Sanchez, you could tell he could realize, you know, I shouldn't have done that. And he put his hand back. Really, it was pretty funny. I guess that was the only one.
By the way, Freddie, breaking news here from strippers.
Okay.
The Patriots fan tab rating is up to a 93. So it's soaring to new heights.
Power of the PPGS.
All right. Fan tab up to a 93. Alex from Georgia. Good showing by the Patriots defense. I think they played well, but still have room for improvement. I think it was a good stepping stone to help the defense get into a groove. So, I was listening today to all the player interviews on Patriots.com and came across James Ahedebo's interview. Since he played a lot during the Jets game, I thought I would give it a listen. As I was listening, I kept on hearing him say, you know, a lot. So much that I had to go back and count. The interview was about 4 minutes long, and I figured you have to factor about a minute and a half. Where the reporters were asking questions. So in that 2.5 minutes, he said, you know, approximately 72 times.
Wow.
I might be off a few because there are times he said it fast 3 times in a row. My brain hurts now, so that is all. Prediction, Patriots.
You know.
Patriots 27 in Dallas, South America's team 17. So
that's weird.
How about Tim Cowboy?
I've talked to him a couple times. He's intelligent.
He's got that UMass education.
Well, no, I said he's intelligent.
Yeah.
I'm not overly impressed with that UMass education where I've seen it on other fronts.
Thanks, Andy.
But he is a relatively intelligent guy and well-spoken. I think part of it is they have to be so careful. I'd probably say, you know, too. You know, I'm thinking for the next, you know, word that Bill will, you know, let me say.
That's a really good point. When we talk to some of these guys sometimes, and we've done a lot of the getting to knows this year, when we just kind of ask them, like, funny, offbeat kind of questions about their lives and things that they're interested in, it's amazing the difference when they answer those questions as opposed to saying, so how do you stack up against, you know, Jason Witten in that, you know, how do you deal with a tight end like that? And all of a sudden, all they're thinking about is, what are the 10 things that Bill told me not to talk about?
Right.
And it completely saps them of, you know, A, anything creative at all, and B, in a lot of cases, sounding articulate in any way. Didn't mean to catch you with a mouthful there, Freddie. Sorry about that. That was my fault.
Andy from Sioux City. Hey, guys, I have a question on the way. Ahedebo, can we just call him Diggy, played on Sunday. Is that what people call him, Diggy?
I believe that is what they call him. Didn't I ask him his nickname, and it was Diggy?
Okay. It seemed to me that he played tighter on receivers than most of our D-backs normally do, and he did a great job of sitting at the down marker and not letting the receiver get that position. And consequently, we actually kept the receiver from getting to the down marker. My question is this. Is he being coached that way now, or is this something he learned from his previous employer? Bill Belichick actually addressed this. He didn't really say whether or not that's what he was told to do, but he said, you know, it was more talking about the receiver. It's tough, you know, you can win or lose either way, telling the guy to go to the marker and get covered or go short and try to wiggle your way past the guy who is ready for you. But, I mean, look, I'll take anything in the coverage game. I mean, being at the marker and making a tackle right away, I'll take that on this defense.
That's
at this
good
point.
Defense. You're not gonna get many incomplete passes. Sanchez is one of the worst rated quarterbacks right now in football. And he still completed, what, 60% the other day?
Hey, Fred, this is I just heard through the glass here. I heard from Adam Jones's voice, Eric Scalvino joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline.
Ooh. I'm sorry.
Wait, what?
Wait, what?
So he's calling into their show?
He's Scalabino's on ESPN Boston's midday show.
We welcome now all the listeners who previously were listening to ESPN Boston.
Thanks.
Like James Brown.
With a head of bow, and this is something Andy and I brought up on the pregame social, Freddie. Do you think it had, because we kind of had an idea when we saw that Josh Barrett was out that he had a bow. We didn't know he would start, but we thought he would be more, you know, more involved defensively than he had been. Do you think that was specific to the Jets? And maybe the fact that he had spent, you know, as much time with the Jets gave him a little bit of a leg up in terms of being able to contribute defensively this week?
No.
Was it specific to how bad Sergio Brown played?
Yeah, I think Barrett's a little hurt, and I think Brown was playing terribly, and he's the next guy in line. I think it's coincidental.
Okay. I just thought that Brown hasn't really played all that well, and all of a sudden the Jets week was the coincidence, I guess, mm-hmm. that he decided to make the move. Okay. We'll see. Huh? I don't know. I don't know the answer. I was just, you know, something Andy and I had talked about during the pregame show.
Do you think he had a bow earned some more playing time?
I thought he played well, yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And Sergio Brown did not. You heard me last week. I mean, that was one of the worst performances
I've
ever seen.
That's what I'm basing what I'm saying on.
He earned.
We know Barrett's dinged up, and Brown plays terribly.
Lucky to still be on the roster.
Yeah, and you're not the only person that said it, by the way. A lot of people criticized Sergio Brown's play last week. Chris in Stamford says, webradiopages.com, he says, I'd like to hear your opinions about some of the Pats offensive linemen. Okay. Getting this. When you get to the offensive lineman talk, you know you're a real football show.
Mm-hmm.
With the release of Thomas Welch, is it time to reconsider signing an H-back or fullback? Welch took on the blocking role, but it seems like a third tight end who could take over in-line and backfield blocking responsibilities would help.
That's why the reports are they're signing Gronkowski.
Oh, there's Dan's coming back?
Yeah.
Yeah, so his hamstring's better. Or whatever was he, you know, his injury was.
You might be right.
Sure.
Yeah. Two, Marcus Cannon. Does he contribute this year? That's a good question. He's on PUP. Mm-hmm. He could.
The only way I see that is if you get an injury.
Yeah, because I think Waters now.
Waters has been dominant.
Great. Yeah, he's, you know, so you don't need Marcus Cannon right now.
Waters has been, you know, given the situation that he came in, I think he's been remarkable. There was a couple of plays that I watched, the touchdown runs on Sunday. He was, I think he's an athletic freak, Brian Waters. You know, I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about interior line play, and certainly not from other players, but I just thought he made some plays that I don't typically see guards make. It's the way I used to think about Stephen Neal, the way he used to be able to get out and lead those screen passes and stuff. Now, we haven't seen Waters do a lot of stuff with screens, but couple of those trap blocks, Andy. Did you see the goal line run?
No.
I think the first one especially. He came out and just killed somebody.
No? Well, you weren't watching
the game? I mean, I did, but I didn't necessarily on Brian Waters, what he was doing on the play. But, Fred, Paul and I actually had a bet earlier this year that Marcus Cannon would play this year. Maybe even been a start a game. But we threw that out the window as soon as they signed Brian Waters. I mean, you brought legitimacy to that position. You know, I thought it was going to be Dan Conley, and then you might be looking to replace him, get better, whatever. Waters is a legitimate Pro Bowl guard, and he's played like that since he got here, basically.
Yeah. With all the talk about Mangold's return, what's your opinion about Connolly's work at center? It seems that he's done well, but I can only wonder if they'd be even more efficient with Copen.
I would assume they would. He's their starting center. Yeah. If Conley were better, they would start Conley.
They've missed Copen.
You think so?
Yeah. I thought Conley struggled a little bit on Sunday.
Okay. Brian Waters, we never talked about him. How cool is that? Well, we just did. Thanks, guys. Looking forward to next week and hoping for a Romo implosion. Could happen.
Pretty good chance it could happen.
That's an intriguing game, and obviously we've got tomorrow and Thursday to talk about it. But the Cowboys, every year, you know, for whatever reason, the Cowboys have high expectations. They have so much talent. You know, they're Dallas Cowboys. They have that aura. You know, so whenever they lose, it seems to be sort of like an event. You know, it's like, oh, you know, they shouldn't have lost that game. But, You know, so, and I think the same thing with the Patriots. Even last, was it last year? Or no, 2007 when the Patriots played Dallas last. Dallas was in that game. Mm-hmm. You know, that was like, could have gone either way. And then all of a sudden the Patriots just pulled away. But they're an enigma. I can't imagine our fans being Dallas Cowboys fans. I think there would be a revolt. Because every year you have all this talent and yet you don't do anything.
Right.
You know? We had 2 years we got in the playoffs and got knocked out, and everybody wants to fire Bill Belichick, you know? So I can't imagine if our fans had to put up with what Dallas fans have to put up with.
No, no. Let's hope we don't find out. How long have they been without a playoff win? They still haven't won, right?
I think they won one, right?
Yeah, they won one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they went 15 years in between them.
Oh, yeah. But
let's hope this streak of two doesn't turn into 15.
They've done nothing.
They won one in 09.
TG
because Patriots fans are complaining about two.
I know.
Two in a row that you lost in the playoffs.
Right.
Patriots fans are, well, you know, Brady in the last two playoff games.
Right.
We have certain people that like to throw those stats out there.
Right.
And can you imagine if it got that
and
bad?
And you can't say, oh, well, you know, Dallas has bad drafts or they don't spend money in free agency.
Well, you can say they've had bad drafts because they have.
Well, they've got some pretty
when
good.
When you take Quincy Carter in the second round.
Yeah, that was a bad pick.
Going back
you can certainly,
10 years, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
But if you get a good second-round pick, he might play the next 10 years and be important. They've had bad drafts.
You know,
I don't know if their expectations were very high this year, though. I mean, I know maybe in Dallas, because I think Dallas always, they always think more of themselves. I think that's kind of human nature. But I haven't seen a lot of people high on the Cowboys' playoff prospects heading into the season. Did you? I don't think you had them in the playoffs,
no.
Did you? I didn't either. And
it's because we were high on the Eagles,
right?
And they suck.
Well, I went down. I'm going down with the Giants. The Cowboys. You mentioned that it's almost an event when they lose. The way they lost their two games, they were events. They were catastrophic
right.
collapses.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
any team that lost those two games would be considered an event.
But you know,
they weren't all events last year when they lost how many games?
But the thing that makes it weird to me is they do lose, and they lose a lot, yet every time they lose, it seems to be like everybody's like, I can't believe they lost.
Well, but he's right. You know? Some of these are dramatic.
Yeah.
I mean, Romo has a knack for the negative dramatic play.
Right. There's not too many teams that blow two-score leads in the fourth quarter. They did it twice.
Yeah. TG and NJ, how big is Andy's head today after listening to Belichick's presser last week? Where Andy got, that's an interesting question, Andy, in regards to Andy's kickoff question. I assume his head might not fit in the studio today. You guys sounded like a bunch of kids. That's going to be a soundbite on the radio show. The look in Belichick's face
said
it all.
First.
I can't believe we let these idiots stick around here. Classic PFW. Now, you guys started to tell me about this, but you never did.
Yeah, and I never told Kevin I want my soundbites. Make sure you get those off of Belichick.
So what happened?
Is he not listening back there?
No.
Does he not listen to the show when it's on?
He's on the tweets. What happened?
I asked him a question about the new kickoff rule and how it may relate to potential fake onside kicks and trick onside kicks. And I believe I asked the question I had asked Paul earlier. Is the kicker the guy who kicks the ball or the guy who lines up more than 5 yards from it? And Bill was kind of confused, so I explained if you want to run one of those crossing onside kicks, where you have somebody other than the kicker kick the ball, they both run up, and a guy, well, do they both have to be within 5 yards? Is the kicker allowed? Or could you have a kicker line up closer than 5 yards and kick the ball and put a special teamer more than 5 yards away so he can have an extra run up? And
it sounds like one of those things you have to warn the ref that you're going to do.
And Bill didn't really have an answer, and he went, yeah. I'll have to, And then I talked with him. After that ended the press conference, and he came off with, I don't know, he said something coming off, and then we happened to bump into him going into the locker room, and we walked the whole length of the locker room and talked about it even more.
Wow.
And he used it as an opportunity to kind of take his usual, you know, that's what they do. They change these rules, and they don't think about all these different things that could come up, and they don't take that into account. He kind of went off on one of his little geniuses at the league rant.
Well, but he's right. And what they do, the way they write rules, is they give coaches like him the opportunity to punch holes in it.
Or idiots like me.
You know?
It all came about because I was writing that stupid Pulse story in our paper this week about the kickoff rule change. And, you know, the players saying it didn't change anything. It took us a little bit to get our timing down. Other than that, it's no different. Late in the year, there'll be less touchbacks.
Right.
We'll be more. The whole thing. But I was writing the new rule that forces the kicker, you know, all 10 players other than the kicker. And I was typing that. I'm thinking, well, what if you could teach your kicker to kick with just a 5-yard, run up?
Right.
Could you manipulate things that way? And Bill didn't have really any of the questions answered.
But that's,
he was going to look into
but
it.
But that's how he approaches it. You know,
well,
he's
apparently
looking
not because he hadn't yet.
But you reminded him of that.
Exactly.
That, to look at it that way, which is why he thought it was interesting. And what, like I said, why those rules sometimes they don't think them through.
And our conversation ended with him walking out, and I go, just so you know, if you use absolutely any kind of trick formation on a kickoff, I'm taking full credit for it. And he laughed and he goes, okay.
But it was funny at the end, like he did exactly what the emailer said. Bill, you know, sort of looked at Andy, and the three of us are right in the front row, like we always are, you know, sucking up like, you know, good employees. And he looks at Andy, he goes, that's a really interesting question, Andy. You know, and then he's just like, boy, you guys really, I think he said something like, boy, you guys really came up with them today or something like that. To which I looked at him, I said, oh, you have no idea. We just wasted 15 minutes talking about this upstairs. And he started laughing. And that's when Stacy sort of chimed in. He goes, oh, you got your sound bites now for the radio. And it just, like, it wouldn't stop. Bill just kept on, like, we gave him plenty of opportunities. Okay,
right.
You know, we realized it was a little offbeat. And I think, how did you phrase it? A kind of a oddball question or something like that?
I don't remember.
And Bill just kept sticking with it. It's like the more he thought about it, the more intrigued by it he was.
Right.
And he wanted to figure out, well, what would you do? You know, if Steven Gostkowski could kick off with just a 5-yard head start, would you be beneficial having Matthew Slater 10 yards behind the ball?
Right.
Is that legal? If
right.
you could. I don't know. And it was like you could see the wheels turning right. in Bill's head as he was thinking about it.
Sure.
All started by Big Head.
And I, of course, you know how we have our little thing where he's never said Eric's name ever right. in 6 years? And Paul and I like to say, well, he said my name 3 times this week.
Right. And yeah, Andy and I had
I wasn't there.
Over.
Now, let me guess. After, was this the last question of the press conference?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, now, I guarantee you, if that happened earlier in the press conference, you would have certain other media members trying to, like, one-up you.
Eric?
Like, no.
No, I think Fred's right.
Yeah, asking other questions that, you know.
There would have been people that wouldn't have been happy that all the direction was on you specifically and PFW. What if we tried this? Oh,
right,
you know,
right.
someone would have come up with something.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He's right. Fred's absolutely right.
And numbnuts, when you're done
servicing
on
Fred,
in front
under
of Fred. Can you get my sound bites off the Belichick press conference from Friday? They're good
that's
ones. They're all at the
end.
That's
one reason why we should have Ray Ray in the booth and not Kevin.
All right, easy.
Relax. We're going to find out who our new host
you know
is after
like,
HR gets done with you.
Do you remember that Pepsi commercial with Bob Dole and Britney Spears?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
easy boy. That's
yes.
what Fred's like all of a sudden. He's turned into Bob Dole.
And HR won't care for it.
No.
Quick aside.
I haven't seen her in a while. Where is she? Is she still with the company?
Yeah, she's who?
Ray Ray.
Yeah, I just saw her this morning.
Oh, okay.
You haven't noticed her because she's dressing more appropriately. I don't know what happened.
I never thought she dressed
that's probably not right either.
Oh, by the way, biggest whore on the golf circuit is that girl, what's her, Glebus or Globus?
Natalie Globus or whatever.
She's terrible.
Galbus. She's Roethlisberger's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, focus on golf, all right?
Natalie
she's
Galbus.
She's tramping around like some...
What did she do?
Harlot.
I don't know. Harland. He's 1957.
Is that even offensive these days?
Oh, my God.
What did she do that set you
up? She's
not
even that good looking.
She's pretty hot.
She's pretty hot.
She's got a great body.
She's pretty hot for a golfer.
She had augmentation, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, absolutely, because I Googled her.
Because they get in your way when you play golf.
Because I Googled her. Yeah,
if
anything, you would go the other way.
I saw the old photos and I saw the new photos, and she definitely got enhanced.
Probably got a good bra.
And that's ridiculous.
It's all bras.
Well,
it's a good bra.
Nuclear bra, then, because
they have bras now that can push you up 2 cup sizes. I bought my wife one, yeah. And she said she felt ridiculous, so she took.
Well, anyway,
my God,
what I did, it really works though.
Just the whole line of
what a letdown
topic
that's going to be
discussion.
Though. You're getting it on with Natalie, and you pull the bra off, and everything just disappears. Hey, where'd they go?
All right, TG and NJ also says, yeah, you got to plug that in.
Yeah, plug it in.
Where is IT?
I don't know. They're not good with emergencies.
or computers,
see.
Which is
TG
weird.
TG and NJ also says Haynesworth ain't
worth
hay.
Oh, you got the blue screen?
Yeah, it's poor, but all I got. You guys agree with that. Ocho.
Wait, whoa, what was it?
Haynesworth ain't worth hay.
I'm between the two of you. I don't think he's as bad as Paul is. I don't think he's as impactful as you are. I think he's been a competitive defensive lineman.
Yeah, see, and
field.
I think you're overrating how impactful I think he is.
On Sunday, you thought that?
I thought he was fine on Sunday.
Okay.
I thought he held the line of scrimmage.
That's 2-on-1 then, so I didn't see him make a lot of plays. I'll submit to you guys.
But I saw him, even when he was getting blocked, I felt he was moving parallel to the line of scrimmage. I see some guys on this team.
There was one play that I made a comment that I thought that was...
I think for the most part, he holds the, I know Fred Smirnoff doesn't like this lingo, but point of attack. He held it. He stands there. He's a big, fat tub of goo who stands there. And there's some value. We need to give up the whole hope that he's going to be like this, you know, Pro Bowl, impactful guy. He's never going to be that.
That horse has left the barn.
He may be able to occupy a couple blockers on 25 snaps a game.
Yeah. Your boys at Pro Football Focus that say that, I think I said this off the air, so I guess I'll explain it. There was a tweet I just saw about Andre Carter. They said that he's making a bid to be the best 4-3 defensive end in football, run-stopping defensive end in football. He played really well against the run all year, including Sunday, according to Pro Football Focus. Same game wrap-up, I looked at it. They had Haynesworth as a minus 1.2, so that's not good.
Is that really not good or just a little not good?
Most guys, it's plus or minus 5 is like the maximum.
Oh, okay.
I mean, generally, I think.
So it's pretty bad.
So it was bad.
I mean, that's 50% bad.
Yeah, he had Kyle Love was like a minus 0.2 or something like that, a 0.4. And Haynesworth was 1.2. You know, Will Fork was plus. Carter was plus.
Sean Ellis?
I didn't read the whole thing. I just skimmed down for Haynesworth.
Ocho Cinco is 0-0. That's 0-0, Fred.
What does that mean?
I guess he's done nothing, according to TGNJ.
He had a nice catch on the sideline.
Is Welker still a nice little player, Paulie? Why is he not in the discussion as one of the best wide receivers in the league? Welker, not Paulie, that is. Right. I heard Peter King. Now, you know how Peter King writes. He never comes down on a stand. He always gives himself some wiggle room. But he used Welker in Hall of Fame in the same sentence.
Yeah, and I actually had a discussion about it with somebody in the PR department. I still think it's crazy, but if he can build on this year, if this year ends up anywhere near where it's going, and I don't even mean that it has to continue at this ridiculous rate, but if he has 1,500 yards and then he signs a deal either here or somewhere else, a 3-year deal, and has 2 more years of this type where he's a 15 catch, then I think you have to consider him.
Right.
Because he transitioned from just the guy who's just a possession catch guy to, okay, Moss is gone. I need to be more than that.
Right, over
and
the
I'm
top.
More than that.
Yeah.
And in terms of catches, he will have dominated a 7-year span or whatever if he's at 90 catches, you know, for the next couple of years. So in that sense, I think you'd have to consider it. But then I go to my other thing. No, he's not one of the best receivers in the game because Larry Fitzgerald is better. Calvin Johnson is better. There are guys right now that are better that are going to have long, better careers. And the numbers have been devalued because of all the passing. So a lot of guys are going to have 100-catch seasons moving forward, whereas whatever he has three, four, was like, you know, only one other person has done it or whatever. That's going to change. You're going to have guys that finish their career with like 10 100-catch seasons because there's more passing, there's more chances to catch them.
But they say that when you're judging Hall of Famers, you need to consider the era in which you're in, which is exactly what you're doing. And in this era... He's leading
dominate,
the league.
But he didn't dominate.
But is he
not
best?
Calvin Johnson. He's
no,
not
but he needs to continue to do it.
But he has yet to be the best, right?
In terms of yards, he's led the league before, right?
No.
Or catches, he's led the league.
He's never even been close.
Yeah.
That's why this year, to me, is so above and beyond anything that we've seen out of
him. The argument for you is, yes, he has an all-pro season. So if you're going to say, was he the best receiver that year, that's one of the measures. Yeah. All-pro. He had an all-pro season.
Yep.
I've admitted, by the way, many times that he's more than I thought he was in 2007.
He's now a dollar bill, not just pocket change.
I've admitted I was wrong many, many times.
Silver dollar. Can you answer the question, though? Is he a Hall of Fame? I mean, is there any discussion?
You know me.
Okay, good. I just wanted to check. Yeah. I just wanted to check. Yeah. I wanted to make sure consistency-wise.
Wait a minute. Just to clarify, you don't think he's a Hall of Famer? Okay.
No, but he doesn't think anybody is.
Right.
He thinks Brady needs 5 more strong years to get in.
Yeah, it's one of the areas that Fred and I are in lockstep on. There's far too many people considered Hall of Famers,
is
let alone him.
Is really the worst Hall of Famer?
Oh, I don't think so.
No. Here I go listening to Dale Arnold again. He was ranting and raving.
Joe Namath was the Dan Marino of his
team. Do you know how we just talked about the whole the game has changed and the numbers are different like that? He was the way they play today in terms of throwing the ball a lot and all that in an era in which that wasn't really the case. Right. He was.
No, I was just going. He with the was guy who I assume saw him.
He
play.
Was a quote unquote franchise quarterback who was responsible for his offense's movement before that was common. You know, guys like John Unitas, Joe Namath. There weren't that many.
And there was nothing West Coast about him either. It wasn't like piling up short throws.
Bombs away. Yeah. Bombs away. It wasn't like Bart Starr was a great Hall of Fame quarterback who won, who handed the ball off every play and managed the game, quote unquote. Joe Namath was the antithesis of that. So, yeah, statistically, doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. But based on what he did in the era in which he did it.
And if his knees, both knees hadn't been so bad, you know, in the last, 5 years of his career,
Dale Arnold
he would have had in more, even say more
it,
incredible.
Say it. You know, he's going to rip Dale Arnold.
Dale Arnold is a buffoon.
But he was all over Joe Namath?
Yeah, I was listening to the pregame
I didn't
show
hear it, but Andy
in.
Said he called him the worst Hall of Famer
of all
time. He
said definitely the worst quarterback in the Hall of Fame and probably the worst player in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I want to kiss you.
Based on what?
Well, based on the fact that he plays for New York and he doesn't have great stats.
Wow. I love Joe Namath.
There's a shock. I mean, he won a Super Bowl. You loved him.
Well, I mean, I love Joe Namath, too. It's the reason why I was always number 12.
I was also an 8-year-old kid in New Jersey when that happened.
Well, when were you an 8-year-old kid in Denver, and when were you an 8-year-old kid in every other city where you loved the team?
Well, you know, when I started moving, when I moved out of, you know, the New York metropolitan area, and I had to choose a team, it wasn't like the Patriots were that attractive at the time. And I always had some type of affinity for the AFC West. I kind of liked that division.
He liked a division.
I did.
An entire division.
I liked Willie.
How can you possibly like a division?
I liked Willie Lanier from Kansas City, and I liked, you know, obviously the Broncos.
You're a whore. You're a sports fan harlot.
I was just kind of into
it. If you go by numbers, you could definitely say that Joe Namath doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. But you could say Terry Bradshaw doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame, too.
Right.
If you wanted to do that. It just was a different time. Fred's absolutely right. They used to bomb the ball downfield every throw. 50% was good for completion percentage. Now, if you're not 65, you're not any good.
Right. It was much.
I don't know how you cannot complete 65% of your passes based on how far the ball travels.
You remember the the Tudor electric football game with the little guys that you'd switch it on and it vibrates and they
I've
go.
Seen did
it.
You
they
just
go
say no?
Field?
I've never.
Well, that hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts right there.
I've seen Brooklyn, it like
Matt,
on. Remember
you need to get on the email.
No. I didn't mean that as a criticism. I just that we're old.
I've only seen it on, like, remember the 80s or whatever.
Everybody had that, Fred, when we were kids.
No one I've ever seen.
But remember how hard
it shows you that we're old. That wasn't a shot at you.
Remember how hard it was to complete a pass in that game with a little cotton football?
It was impossible.
Right. And that's the way football used to be.
Every play.
You know, it mirrored the game.
Every play was a run play.
Right.
And you'd spend, like, 10 minutes.
There was a football?
There was a little cotton football.
Like a felt. It was a thing that
vibrate or something?
Yes. You didn't have to actually complete it, so you threw it from one guy to the next and he caught it. But if it hit the receiver, it was a catch.
Right. How did you throw it?
Yeah. Very carefully.
The quarterback was the only one different. He had like
a little spring
lever on
his
arm,
lever.
And you'd have to stay behind the line of scrimmage and you'd point at it. It was almost impossible to complete a pass.
He's right.
That's the way the NFL was back then.
My version of that was so old.
I know how Tim Tebow feels.
It was AFL, NFL. It said in the end zones, AFL, NFL. So that's how far back mine went. But you'd spend like 10 minutes lining up the linemen, and you'd be like, you know, I'm going to get this guy who'll be the lead blocker. He'll get this guy out of the way. And then after all this intricate setup, like literally 2 seconds after you click the button, everybody would, like a guy would fall down.
There'd be one guy like
just mass chaos.
Up against the side,
the guy
doing
with the
nothing.
Ball, the guy with the ball would just spin in a circle. They have that on ESPN, I think. They still show those, right?
I would actually, before each play, go, you know, take them off and like brush the prongs on the bottom so that they would go in a certain direction. Oh my God.
I remember my brother
and
I. That
was the most useless game, but
my
we
brother
all
and I
loved
like
it.
Painted numbers on the little players and stuff. Oh, it was ridiculous.
We can't
believe the amount of time we wasted on that.
Now you can go on Madden and you have every team's actual playbook.
No, right. But you wasted the time playing like, you know, Tecmo Bowl and stuff like that.
I was never
whatever.
Huge into video games.
But whatever the game was.
I was outside.
Yeah, getting fat.
TG and NJ also says, I agree the D does seem to improve a little bit every game, but after watching last night's game with the silver bullet D-line of the Lions, then looking at our D-line, oh, boy, we got a long way to go.
Oh, boy.
And, you know,
no one's naming
TG's right. They are in a different class.
that defensive line for the, and you know, it's not just, you know, overall, you know, oh, they're just better. How quick they are off the ball. I mean, they had a couple neutral zone infractions, but
I'll
man,
take those.
I mean,
the way they play, I'll take a few of those.
Yeah, they had
not in really big spot.
They had a jump
on
the snap.
They invested in it.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a guy who was the second pick in the draft and a guy who,
well, you know,
I thought we did this year too.
No. There's a difference between signing Sean Ellis and drafting the best defensive lineman in the draft.
Yeah, I know.
We had an SPFW that I just posted and someone's saying, you know, how do we, you know, we need to find, we got to get the Sioux and the Arakpos. I'm like, well, in order to get those guys, fortunately, we haven't been in position because you need to invest high picks.
When you were in position, you took one. His name was Richard Seymour.
Right.
You got him. You got an all-pro defensive lineman.
Yeah. But these guys, they just always have that first step on the line,
well,
on the offensive line.
Different type
and
players.
And that's the key. That's the key right
Bill
there.
Bill might take one of those now. Might take a
speed-based,
aggressive D lineman.
It seems like they can just rotate them, too. They have like seven of them or eight of them. You know, it's Averill and Vandenbosch.
Schwartz, he's a genius.
You know what? That's another thing that came to my mind last night watching the beginning of that game. And they were talking about,
what if he
about,
had been the defensive coordinator here? Because that's what I thought of.
Well, I
Bill
wonder,
tried to hire him.
I wonder if it could work because it's so diametrically opposite. Maybe they're doing some different stuff now, this, you know, in 2011.
Right.
But based on what we know about Belichick's principles, that's polar opposite.
Right.
Everything, you talked about the encroachment penalties. That's because they're trying to get off the ball and fire upfield.
Right.
They caught themselves. They got caught out of position a couple of times in that game with little quick handoffs to Forte. And they got
Cutler with
you know,
a quick slant.
Yeah, they got past the ball a couple of times. But I just, if you're going to play defense in this league, that's the way you have to play, in my opinion. You have to be athletic and fast, and you have to disrupt as quickly as you can. You're going to get burned sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I think Tom Brady in 60 minutes would burn that defense.
Well, and you would think
but
with an offense
know,
like
you
the
know,
Patriots,
what happens along the way.
You should be willing to take those chances because you'll get your points.
Right.
It's not like, you know, the old days when we watched and games were 17-13.
Pick
and,
your poison.
You know,
you know, if you're going against Tom Brady and you want to sit back and just hope that he makes a mistake, good luck to you because it ain't going to happen. So you might as well try to get after him and disrupt him. I thought the Jets did
that for years
at times on Sunday. But that front, see, the beauty of Detroit is they don't have to do it the way the Jets had to do it on Sunday.
They don't have to be exotic. They can just line up and do it. Yeah.
But that's why I was thinking of what if Bill had gotten him? Would they
have
come together? Well, maybe they would have kind of melded the two, and you would have ended up with some sort of hybrid, more aggressive front. And, I mean, who knows? It might have played out. Maybe Schwartzy would just be a base 3-4 two-gap guy.
That's what I think would have happened because Schwartzy wouldn't have had the autonomy to do what he obviously wants to do.
Right.
Maybe for all I know, maybe Schwartz said, hey, you know what? I got Sue. This guy is better than even we thought. You know,
yeah, but he's been
guy
that.
And
he
that
was at Tennessee.
Bosch,
they were,
you know, maybe that's the way I looked at
they
it.
They were an aggressive scheme in Tennessee, too.
Well,
I think he just has better talent now, so
did
it
he
looks
have,
better.
Did he have curse in his day? Javon Curse? Because I look at Javon Curse as kind of like that player that Belichick likes to have that flexible. I don't know if Curse's heyday coincided with Schwartzy.
I'm not sure it did.
At defensive end. I mean, at defensive
but
coordinator.
Vandenbosch was successful there. Obviously, Haynesworth was successful there. I think they were a more aggressive defensive front with him. Now, I don't know where that came from. Who was he under when he was there that, you know, he might have just taken
it. It'd be interesting.
That's a really interesting point.
TG and NJ.
Get all of them, though. There's more. Oh, he goes all in.
Andy likes to add them all up and count them.
They might have clipped it.
Oh, son of a.
He got about seven off me.
Yeah.
Was it after that?
I don't know. It's through that whole end, and then he starts to walk off the mic. And
I could hear Paul mumbling like that'll be on the radio or something. Yeah.
No, that was Stacy
said that. He's like, oh, he's going to send it to Patriots.com, 98.5. He's going to have that everywhere.
Well, the full thing is on Patriots.com somewhere. We just need the date.
No, we can't do that on Patriots.com.
TJ, it's not a long email, but we just keep going off into tangents.
That's a good email then.
Yeah, what was with
Is this the one that got you to talk about your stupid little football game?
Yeah. And why is it stupid? Because you didn't play?
Because you were watching a vibrated board with little plastic men.
That's what we had back then.
And
it was stupid.
And we were thankful for what we had.
That's right.
Don't make fun of our stupid games.
It was stupid. Let's be honest. It was stupid. There's plenty of toys in my lifetime been stupid.
Based on now?
I can admit they were
stupid. Of course it was colossally stupid. But
you just said you wasted 20 minutes to get one play and it would end in
2 seconds. But in 1972 it was fun.
Right.
It was like Eric's sex life if he had one.
Yeah, what was with Phil Simms? I usually like his commentary, but I think he was trying to out-Gruden John Gruden, and he wouldn't shut up. And what is your take on Anderson? Who is this guy, and where the hell is Cunningham?
Anderson.
Mark Anderson.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's their situational pass rusher who was...
The situation being two-score lead in the
Jarvis
last 30
Green
seconds.
Sack at the end of the game.
He's got 3.5. He got a half earlier. But, yeah, he's making a career out of meaningless end-of-game sacks.
That's all right.
He might get 8 or 10 of them and look good and go make some money somewhere, and they'll regret it.
But I'm, you know, I don't know if Kevin, anyone has emailed in about Phil Simms, but I'd like people to tell me what they think was the most egregious thing that Phil Simms said, because
and I'll keep a lookout.
Because I was on the blog and everybody was complaining about him, and he was praising the Jets, but I didn't really hear him say anything bad about the Patriots. So I'm just wondering, you know,
maybe he goes the other way. Maybe he tries to be overly objective on Patriots games because he's Bill's boy. And
is he?
Oh my God.
They have like 6-hour production meetings.
Well, he does that with every team.
No, he doesn't. No, he does not. Phil Simms, and they'll be like laying on the couch in there for hour and hour and hours on end. They're boys.
Andy will tell you back to his PR days.
They're boys.
They are very, very
tight.
But since that time,
hasn't things soured between them, I thought?
I don't believe so.
With not the thing that we're not supposed to talk about? You know.
I don't think so.
No?
Why? What thing?
You know, Spygate.
If we're not supposed to talk about it, you shouldn't.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, is there a photo out there?
No. I don't understand what the uproar
Somebody
is.
Somebody tweeted it
so,
to me.
So, yeah, it's a shot of an Jets cameraman.
Right.
Obviously works for the Jets. He has a Jets T-shirt on with the photographer's vest over it, shooting from behind Schottenheimer on the sideline.
Right.
I think it was Schottenheimer, yeah.
Yes, it is.
And everyone's like, oh, my God, you're not supposed to have cameras on the sideline. What? You know, they're making a big deal about this. No.
Did anybody see the all-access cameras on the other side?
Teams are allowed to have their own cameraman on the sideline for the purposes of shooting coaches' show and to get their own footage of the game.
Right, but if he were taping the Patriots' defensive signals,
he wasn't.
That'd be cheating.
I mean, I don't know from that picture.
I don't even know that they have defensive signals anymore since
he was standing
headsets exist.
Yeah, it was just ridiculous. And the Jets had to come out with a statement that said it's our own personnel shooting for our coaches' show.
If that's true, it's ridiculous.
It is true.
Okay.
You know,
the guy in question.
He's shooting across the
field.
I don't know what he's shooting. To go after the Jets. You don't think I would take it?
Yeah.
But how do you know he was shooting?
I don't know what the guy was shooting, but the guy in question worked for the Jets version of All Access.
Right. No,
just
I
like,
know that.
Just like we have cameras shooting behind our bench shooting.
We got Sam and Leo out there.
Right.
So all I can.
I mean, our sound guy speaks Russian. If they don't think he's a spy, I don't know who is.
This is chaos.
I don't know. I think it's naive to think none of that will ever happen again.
Of course it is naive.
Okay.
But that photo was not proof
of anything, but you saying that teams have coaches shows is not proof that nothing could be happening.
No, but
I don't think it's naive to think it'll never happen that way again. I don't think someone's going to be stupid enough to stand on the sideline and brazenly shoot the other sideline.
They'll figure out another way to do it.
Yeah, they'll get up in the stands or do something stupid.
Right.
I thought it was weird, you know, being down in my position. There was a guy from the Jets hat, Jets vest with a camera on his shoulder standing right next to the Patriot bench. I thought that was weird.
Yeah, but they're shooting for coaches shows and stuff.
Yeah, we do the same thing.
Like, I wouldn't dare go stand on the Jets bench to do my job dressed, decked out in Patriots
style. If you had to, I would.
I mean, if it was part of your job, you would.
I guess.
There's certain places where they're allowed to go, and as long as you don't go beyond those borders, you're fine.
And, I mean, you always see those shots, if they're doing it NFL film style with, you know, for all we know, Bill Belichick's here and in the is Sanchez behind and Bill Belichick schemed against Mark Sanchez or whatever. Well, that's what you have to do.
John in North Carolina.
And then you have
to
wax poetic about it when you write about it because, you know, no one does those things like NFL films.
Is that what Eric wrote?
Everybody.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
And if you want UMass tickets, call that number. We're still trying to give those four away.
Yeah, if you have a call, Kevin, just put them on.
No, just let me know.
There
was just a couple tweets announcing that the 2015 Super Bowl will be in Arizona.
Nice.
Arizona, back to Arizona. That's big news, I guess, NFL. Who else was up for that?
Tampa, I believe.
Tampa?
It was down to two, I think.
Oh, was it?
It had been previously whittled down.
That's right. Tampa was, I like Tampa.
Who are you talking to?
Just inner dialogue.
John in North Carolina, am I the only crazy person that thinks if other than the two tremendous nose picks that Vince has been pretty invisible? The thing that frustrates me about the D is Bill's reputation as a defensive genius. Why have teams like the Texans been able to turn around a dreadful defense into a respectable one in 1 year? Revis is the best corner I have ever seen. He sticks to his guy like glue. Did you see that play in the end zone where, from yes. where I thought it was a sure touchdown, yep. and then all of a sudden he comes out of nowhere and knocks the ball down.
He's faster than I thought he was. I thought what made him remarkable was that I didn't think he was elite speed. He has elite speed. When he wants to turn it on,
yeah.
we saw it on the big play. Not that Welker's the fastest guy in the world, but you just saw him go from fifth gear to sixth gear.
And I saw,
even
I
more impressive is the play in terms of speed is that play.
I heard
that
somebody on the radio say something that was absurd. Somebody said, oh, it took him 50 yards to make up 2 yards. No. He was about 7 yards.
To make up 2 yards?
Make up 2 yards.
He wasn't even close to Welker when Welker caught the
ball. Right. You're right.
He wasn't even close. It was an amazing hustle play, just like as Andy pointed out in Read and React postgame. Devin McCourty's running down Joe McKnight on the kick return.
It was a great play.
Was an amazing hustle play.
Right.
And he was not 2 yards back.
No.
Freddie, the Ace Ticket Hotline just got busy here.
Oh, did it?
We have Jeff in Vegas on the air here.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning from sunny Las Vegas.
Okay. It's a little sunnier this week,
Jeff,
isn't it?
Jeff, congratulations, my friend. You were a hot topic of conversation in the press box.
Oh, really, indeed.
You were.
Why? Were you guys looking at the final there?
Yes, yeah. we were. 9.5 and 7, I believe?
Yeah.
In between?
Yeah, I was able to middle that. Has anyone over there been keeping track of how my pregame picks have been doing?
I have not, but I might start doing so and taking notes in the future.
Yeah, I think I gave Buffalo on the money line, and then I think I said they'd win big, but Seymour wouldn't really do anything. And then I thought that you guys were slightly, you know, not to crow or gloat in any way, but I thought you guys were slightly dismissive. I didn't think middling the game was as much of a, you know, as exotic as you guys made it out to be.
We weren't dismissive of it. We were impressed with it.
Andy thought it was exotic.
He said I he think it's have crazy.
He said he wouldn't have a stomach left if he was you.
Yeah, well, it's sort of like in blackjack. Sometimes the line movement will sort of dictate the way you go, and it's like splitting aces when you're playing blackjack.
Don't do that at my table.
Yeah, so
I'm just kidding.
And one quick rip of Paul. I mean, Paul, this isn't Everett when you were back with a teenager fantasizing about middling a game. This is real casinos, real betting lines, and real money that we're doing this with.
So, just out of curiosity, if you make one of those wagers in Las Vegas and you're unable to pay it, what happens to you?
Well, you're middling the game. The only risk you have
in Vegas,
is,
you got to pay up front.
No, I understood. So all you can do is pay, or you can't make the bet.
Right.
What happens to you in Everett when you do that?
You pay.
You die.
Yeah.
So don't dismiss it.
Well, exactly. And I would imagine you have to worry a little bit about if you have different lines with different guys.
It's a whole different set of problems, my friend.
No, I understand completely.
But yes, I am very much playing the middle like that. I was very impressed, and the fact Andy and I were basically the start of the fourth quarter. We started looking at the numbers, and we're like, if they score here and they score there, and the Patriots close it out with a field goal, he's going to get it. I mean, literally 3 scores ahead of time. Andy and I started talking about this, and sure enough, Jeff got it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. It really is very unusual, one, to actually get the line to move like that, and then two, to have it land in there. It's sort of like the holy grail of sports betting. So we'll, you know, take it while we can, I guess.
So you're going to walk away a winner? You're going to pull a John Elway and just go out on top?
Yeah, Andy, there's no way I think this could be topped. However, I think we got Dallas by 7 early line, and over the total is about 54, so we'll be watching that. One quick thing game-related, how nice would it be to sort of give the Ryan brothers a little payback for last year in back-to-back weeks here?
It would be great. Jeff, I don't do the pregame social. This is Fred, so I've never met you before. You seem like a nice guy, but with all your winnings, when are you going to buy lunch?
Well, funny you should mention that. I was going to line it up for this Thursday, but I think my esteemed Twitter colleague, Strippers, has taken care of it for this week. So okay. We'll see how the Cowboys game goes, and Fred, I might just be able to deliver on that.
I'm only kidding.
Stretch here.
So, I'm not kidding. We'll pencil you in for next Thursday.
Next Thursday it is.
All right.
I hear you. Last thing, real quick. The reason I did call, I sort of came across the Cowboys director of new media relations for Dallas. And you guys might want to chat with him. I think the Cowboys are looking to set up a pregame social type of thing themselves.
Interesting. Everybody's copying us now.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Jerry Jones, Bob Kraft, they sort of, walk in tandem on something. So who knows? This Patriot pregame social could be the start of something big league-wide.
That's right.
Have a great one. I'll talk to you on Sunday.
All right, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
You know, Jeff, it could be interesting if all teams did that. And then we had a network of these things, and we're all talking to each other on game day. Like, you know, on game day, we talked to the Dallas one, and like we did that with the Super Bowl once. Mm-hmm. Remember, we talked with the Eagles?
Philly.
The Eagles do one, you know. The Eagles, I don't know what they do, but they have a pre halftime and post show on their website.
Oh, is that right?
30 minutes before, a quick thing in the middle, and then something post game.
Huh.
And I get an email from Tampa. I sent that to you. I forwarded that to you. Somebody in Tampa heard about our show and is it looking to do something similar. And
well,
it's catching on. Glad it was my idea.
It'd be interesting.
He really is unbelievable, isn't he?
All right. Well, Jeff, thanks for the call.
Yeah, he's gone.
Okay. Anyone else up next?
Nope.
Oh, Jeff, do you want to go to the UMass game?
We just got that drill in the background.
So we have an open mic. We have an open
it's open
phone
mic
line.
Night here, PFW.
508-298-0398.
Arizona's not bad. Who else was in it? Tampa. I like Tampa, too. Tampa's not bad either.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Giovanni writes, and any win against the Jets is a good one. Before the game, I asked Fred Kirsch on Kirschwords, which number is higher, the number of kids Cromartie has or the number of points the Pats will win by? Turns out they're equal. Love the way Benny played. If we can have more of that, maybe defenses will respect the pass even more than they already do. It was cool to see Ahedebo and Ellis push and shove their former teammates. Oh, and is it just me, or does Plaxico Burress look strangely similar to Braylon Edwards?
It is kind of uncanny.
You know, tall receiver for the Jets, number 17, dropping about 5 passes per game.
I don't know. It is striking how similar they look in a uniform.
Yeah.
And he had
how many
a couple
catches
drops.
Does Santonio Holmes have?
In the game?
Yeah. 5, I think.
I think that's
is right. It that many?
Something like that. They only had 16 completions.
Now, I know
16,
four. I know in New York there was talk last week of receivers going to Rex Ryan because they weren't happy with the play calling and all this stuff. But I really do think that whether it's Schottenheimer and Ryan or just Schottenheimer, they don't trust Sanchez. They just don't call the kind of plays that will get him in trouble if he, you know, doesn't execute properly. They won't take chances with Sanchez. And with the talent that they have, that's a shame.
You know what's funny about their
not for us
their
but
situation
for them.
Is with all the talk that we've had about the Patriots wide receiver situation and who they have that can get downfield, the Jets are sorely lacking a deep threat.
You don't think these guys have any speed?
None of those guys. No. Well, they have speed, but they're not deep threats.
Right.
Yeah.
Holmes would be the closest thing, but it would be like asking Deion, even in his prime,
right,
to go be your big play guy. It's not really.
Right. You know, Edwards. I think that Plax is a better receiver than Braylon Edwards. But Edwards was a better deep threat. And I think that he kind of balanced them out a little bit more. And talking to some of the New York guys on Sunday, not so much production-wise, but Cotchery, they felt was one of those glue guys that they've missed. Now, they all said that Cotchery wanted out. And it wasn't that the Jets wanted him back, but Cotchery wanted out. He was mad. So I'm not necessarily killing the Jets for it. But
where is he now?
I forget. I don't know. But I think that they lack a little balance in the passing game. I don't think they have anybody that can really stretch the field for them, much like, ironically, we've been talking about the Patriots for a while, and who knew all of a sudden Welker is the guy stretching the field for you because he's right. Getting he's had a 30-plus yard catch in, like, what, every game or 4 out of 5 games even? You know,
up to 16.4 now for his yards per catch, highest game of the season at 24 and change, which I kind of thought was funny. I would have assumed the 99-yarder would have made that his highest yards per catch game, but it wasn't.
Well, you know what hurt him that game is he actually caught other passes.
Right.
He was really,
yeah,
I mean,
5 catches this game.
We talked about Revis a little while ago. You really do have to hand it to him. I mean, how many plays did they show us replays of him on Welker, and Welker had no way to go?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the biggest play
the
he
best.
Made, now, whether it was...
Not even close.
It may have been Revis.
I haven't heard Asamoah mentioned lately.
No. There's no one close, I don't think, to Revis.
Yeah, in the big pass to Welker, it may have been Revis' fault.
I'm starting to think it may have.
It may have been Revis' fault.
Well, they said he passed him off and expected help, and
right.
I'm not sure that was
what they were doing. Rex said that was one of them, I got him, you take him.
Yeah.
You got him, and he just got confused. It may have been he just let him go, and then Smith screwed up. Now, Smith clearly bit on the play-action fake in the backfield. So Smith screwed up on the play, unequivocally. But I'm not sure that Revis didn't either.
I got that impression, too.
Based on Ryan's answer to that, I think that he would have been a little bit more defensive of the guy that he is always lauding as the best. But he didn't get beat on the play. He might have messed up mentally, but he didn't get beaten on the play.
Right.
But that's one of those things.
One catch, 4 yards.
That makes me want... See, like, that's one of those, though. If it was his fault, then to me that should be included in his numbers, which... makes me wonder if I had watched all those games when he held everybody to one catch for seven yards.
We'll
put that on Eric Smith's resume.
But those kinds of plays, generally, I mean, when you look back and you see Andre Johnson finish the game with 3 catches for 27 yards.
Right. But I don't know.
They don't take out a catch. I mean, generally.
I don't know how they do those.
He ended up with for the game is what I'm saying.
When they put those numbers out, it was all in. That's how they
for
did
those,
it.
For that streak of wide receivers,
they did total games, they didn't do.
Because not everybody does what the Patriots do make it hard for you to do that.
Right.
again, it's another one of those things where I applaud Belichick for being a game-playing guy.
Right.
He knows, they want to have Revis on Welker. I'm not going to just put Welker out there for Revis to cover easily every time. I'm going to put him in motion.
Reggie Wayne
get him
lines
in the
up
slot.
As a left receiver. That's what he does. I'm a left receiver.
Yeah, I'm going to do some different things and make it difficult for them to match up.
Tony says, I never write into these things, but I feel beyond compelled to ask.
These things.
Could there possibly be a bigger douchebag than Andy Hart?
Nope.
Must be hard facing each day as miserable as he is.
Actually quite happy.
Short and sweet by Tony. It's a question we ask all the time.
That is true.
PJ writes in. He says, hey, PFW gang, I just wanted to give you guys an update on the player that people keep bringing up as a mistake by the Patriots. I live in Philly and have season tickets to the Eagles and watch every game. Gerard Page is one of the worst safeties I have seen here in a while, and he finally got benched last week. He is terrible and will probably be released. Just an example of people saying Page is starting in Philly, we should have kept him here. He flat out stinks. Also, I just wanted
Take
to remind Paul that in his arguments about Wes Welker being loose change a couple years ago, he repeatedly said that the
Five
only reason
ago.
Welker is doing what he's doing is because of Randy Moss. I am not ripping Paul because at least he will admit that he said this and that he is wrong. Right, Paul? Andy, on the other hand, seems to be incorrect about something every week. But tries to spin it as if he was right. Finally.
Like the San Diego game.
I have a bit of a question
exactly
to Andy.
Exactly how I saw it play out.
I have a bit of a question to Andy, who said Mike Vick was turning into a douchebag again.
Yep.
Last week, a reporter asked him the question, how does it feel to be 1-3? Michael Vick said, do I really have to answer that question?
With
and
attitude.
Then he said, it is frustrating.
With attitude.
What is so wrong with that?
The attitude.
If you think that is a legitimate question by the reporter, I have to question your skills.
I have no
as
problem with the question, and I have a problem with the tone of the
How
guy who's supposed to be
How does it feel to be 1-3? That's a ridiculous question. The reporter deserved a worse answer than that. What would Belichick have said to that question? Give me a break, Andy. I know you hate Michael Vick, but try to be a little unbiased before calling him out.
Well, I believe what I believe. I think he's turned into a douche again. I think
because
he went
that
through
one thing.
No, not that one thing. There was that other thing in the where he did the interview at the school and he was laughing. He has turned into a guy who now doesn't need anything
because
he has his $100 million contract. He has his starting job. He's got everything back that supposedly was taken from him and that he cherished so much. He got it all back. And what does he do? He goes back to acting the same way, right?
There was a couple. Right? There was one this week too. I don't know if you saw it. He threw 4 picks this week. I believe 3 of them were deflected. And he talked about, there was a question, he said, it doesn't matter, interceptions, and the world doesn't look at it that way. And, all they see is an interception, and quote-unquote saying the right thing. I think what he was in fact doing, and if you watched him say it, you would have gotten the same impression that I am. He was saying, they really, don't put them on me.
Right.
My teammate, like one of them, Avant, caught and basically bobbled right into the hands of the Bill. It was a perfect throw. It was like Brady's throw on Sunday. You wouldn't see Tom Brady say after the game, the world doesn't look at that interception and it's an interception. It's a turnover. The offense turned the ball over.
Right.
That's what Brady would say.
Right.
He wouldn't say, that's on Aaron.
Right.
You know, because he dropped the ball. Now, it's commendable that Hernandez took the responsibility for it. I got to catch that ball.
I like where he said big-time players have to make big-time plays. Well, first of all, it wasn't a big-time play. He threw it right to you. And second of all, I didn't know you became a big-time player. Where was that actual?
He is definitely. Michael Vick, Andy's 1,000% right on this one. He's turning back into who Michael Vick is now that he's comfortable and happy with his sort of second go-round here.
And also,
as
you start
a star.
Losing, and it brings out the worst in people.
Exactly. True. And you're seeing the true colors are coming out, and it's the tip of the iceberg.
The barrage on Andy continues. Brooklyn Matt, Andy, how are you, a football writer? Earlier, Paul was talking about the jinx history of the Cowboys' blue jersey. Paul mentioned that the Eagles made the Cowboys wear them in the 1980 NFC Championship game. Then you actually asked if it worked. Andy, I think I was the one that asked.
Yeah, Fred asked that. I didn't say a damn
thing.
Oh,
my God.
Plus,
how
Andy,
do you not
suck
know?
It,
plus,
you
Andy
snob.
Wasn't alive.
How do you
suck
know that
it.
The Eagles' only Super Bowl appearance are 1980 and 1994?
Suck
of course
it,
it worked in the 1980 NFC Championship game.
2004,
Roger Worski, Eagles. Went to the Super Bowl against the Raiders that year.
If
Einstein.
We're
going to
be nitpicky a-holes, it was 2004, not 94.
That was kind of me.
Oh, you read that wrong?
No. I think I was the one that said, did it work?
Oh, yeah, you definitely did.
Yeah. See, I admit it.
You were busy rooting for the Broncos.
Paul and I admit things.
Yeah.
You, on the other hand.
Yeah, and I did, you know, who was it, TG? Who was, PJ. The Welker thing, I definitely mentioned that. I thought Welker lived off of Moss. He's proving this year that is not accurate.
Warren writes in, the commentators and also the NFL Network guys said Brady threw his first red zone interception at home in his career on Sunday. That's true.
That was reported in the game on Sunday. Is that not accurate?
Isn't it not only his second pick in the red zone at home, but his second to Cromartie in the red zone at home? He threw a pick against the Chargers in the 07 playoffs, right?
Well, they don't count.
They don't count. Well, he threw a pick in the red zone in the playoffs last
year. Right.
But those don't count. You didn't.
It's a regular
season. Much like our winning streak at home, they don't count losses.
I don't know why they do that.
They don't count losses.
You know, when at the end of the year, a guy's career, do they subtract his playoff stats from his career stats?
Well, they don't add them.
They
don't add them.
They don't add them.
No stats include playoff games.
That's ridiculous.
Of course it is.
Because getting to the playoffs is part of his career, and he should be given credit for those stats.
Yeah, but no sports do it.
Really?
Yeah.
So none of Babe Ruth's home runs came in the playoffs?
No.
Oh, is 714?
Yeah.
No.
Of course they did.
They didn't.
No?
In addition to, though, whatever he had in the postseason is added to that.
We just shattered
would be about whatever.
You did. I always thought that 714 was all his home runs.
No. Regular season only.
Of course they did. They didn't?
Regular season only.
So how many does he really have?
I don't know how many he hit.
I don't know, but no one cares about that number.
They would all be World Series home runs,
well,
too.
Well, I was going to say, is there any chance that if you add those in, he still has more than Aaron?
Oh,
and...
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
He's like,
and that's also part of the problem.
Behind, 50 behind.
All these would be inflated because you now have a wild card round, and so Derek Jeter would have so many more numbers than Albert Pujols or somebody who doesn't go as often.
But I think getting to the playoffs that's a credit to you.
Well, it's a team accomplishment.
Though. It is.
It's not an individual accomplishment.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so
we just shattered.
Poor Fred.
But I still think when it comes to winning streaks.
Well,
if you lose a game in the playoffs, you lost a game.
It's not so much how you compile a guy's personal stats as much to me as when you have the Colts thing used to drive me insane. The Colts had that long winning streak. Wait a minute now. They won 10 in a row in 2003 and then lost in the playoffs and 11 in a row in 2004. Why are we subtracting the losses?
Right.
This is a team accomplishment. As Andy said, it's a team thing to get to the playoff. That game counts as a loss.
Well, it's kind of like I read a box on ESPN. It was a Cowboys story, and it said that the Cowboys have the most playoff losses in the Super Bowl era. And I was like, well, that's kind of impressive. They have 25 playoff losses. Unless you win the Super Bowl, you're going to lose. I mean, that means they made the playoffs at least 25 times. Plus, oh, by the way, they won all those Super Bowls. They go to the playoffs every year.
They won five Super Bowls, right?
Right.
Cowboys, that's 30 times they made the playoffs in
40 years.
40 how many years?
Yeah.
What are we up to? 40.
It's pretty impressive.
I'm sure the 46. You know, Buffalo Bills would like to have more playoff losses because they'd like to go every year.
Right.
You don't want to suck and be out of it for a decade.
It did not suck.
Aaron writes in.
They don't include those.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but the show does need Eric. Not because I miss what he brings, far from it, but I feel like Andy and Paul are subconsciously filling in for him.
Andy and his oversized head have never been so negative. He seems to have a subtle hatred for this team and enjoys being right when the team falters.
He really
I miss
does.
The Andy that
I just like being right.
I miss the Andy that chooses to see the glass half full. And Paul,
can I ask a question before you?
When did you meet him and where?
Yes. Because
I'd like to meet him.
Go ahead. You can continue.
And Paul has picked up the feminine traits.
Okay.
Last week,
I'd much rather be negative.
Last week, when I teased Paul about the spike celebration, I reread the email before sending it and thought to myself, Paulie hasn't been taking jokes very well lately. Maybe I should sign this sarcastic errand so he knows I'm teasing. Glad I did, because Paul needed a summer eve spritzer to settle back in after that email.
Aaron, you don't even know the half of it. I actually asked Fred about 2 days later off air. I said, if I ask you a question, will you promise me you tell the truth? And he said, yes. I said, that email that that guy read a couple of days ago, was it really signed sarcastic? And he said, yes, because I still didn't see the sarcasm.
I think it comes down to this. Paul and Andy like to argue, so when Fred and Eric are in the room, they can argue with Fred's overly positive comments as well as Eric's overly negative comments. But when it's just Fred and his optimism,
they are
forced to take the negative side on every subject. Let's get the Kashmir Kid back in the room so we can balance the team out and save Andy and Paul from the dark side. So
I think Andy does have a sort of abnormal fascination with just constantly being right all the time.
He does. Really does.
We all recall in 2005.
You get used to certain things. Being right is one of them.
Webradio at patriots.com.
When was I optimistic, though? When was
Other than,
like, you know, Taylor Price.
That was
like
somewhat baffling.
Individual
Andy likes individual players, but in terms of being overly optimistic, glass half full guy, not so much.
I blame the region. I mean, I think I was.
I blame the region.
I'm a product of my environment. This is not
Did
nature.
I not grow up in the same environment?
This is nurture. And you're as negative as they come to.
Oh, no. I don't think.
You are an angry little man who was once little.
That's completely false.
You're angry.
Mark in Nova Scotia, on my Sims question, I'm asking people to send in the most egregious comments that Phil Sims made on Sunday. Mark in Nova Scotia says it wasn't so much that Sims was down on the Pats, it was that he barely spoke about them other than what was happening on the field. The problem was that he spoke nonstop about the Jets. All the background info that they usually get from the coaches' meeting was about the Jets. It seemed to me that Sims never spoke to Belichick because he absolutely had no tidbits about the Patriots, their players, or their game plan. What was worse was the orgasm that Nance had when Brady was intercepted in the red zone at the end of the half. Apparently, it was the first time he ever been intercepted in the red zone at Gillette. Who really cares? He couldn't get it out fast enough. It was quite obvious that he had that ready to go because it came out as soon as the ball was intercepted. You could tell how proud he was of himself to get that stat out before anyone else in the whole universe. Screw you, Nance. Go have another messy public divorce.
Shouldn't he have that stat ready regardless? I mean, isn't that his job? It'd be prepared. And
no, if we had a guy that, I don't know, for example, ended up having the most receiving yards through the first five games of a season, that would be something we breathlessly have to report as soon as it was recorded. That just as a hypothetical.
And
stats are dumb. I mean, those kind of little factoids, can we just agree? I mean, they don't really have anything to do with the game. So if you're going to rip one, rip them all.
Shouldn't he be excited there? I mean, there was 9 seconds left, and
it's a fairly big play.
Touchdown turned into an interception, which in and of itself could turn into another touchdown going the other way in a big rivalry game. I mean, there's a lot going on there. If he doesn't get excited there, then I'm looking for a new football announcer.
And as Andy and I point out
today, what do you think Gus Johnson would have done there?
Oh, my God. But on our Take Tuesday that we do a quick look back at something maybe that flew under the radar.
We have great video of the play, by the way. You'll have to believe me and not actually see it.
You'll have to use your imagination, much like, you know, when the courtroom is closed to the media and you need someone to have a sketch artist.
That's what you have to do.
You'll have to use your imagination and think of it. But
this is an inside shot at our webmaster.
Very underrated, Freddie, was the effort by Matt Light and Nate Solder, as well as others. I think Mankins was there.
Yep.
Brady was there.
Brady got in the way-ish.
This is a guy in Cromartie who has more than once taken interceptions back 100 yards.
Was that
and had he done
right?
that...
Was that fact I just wrote off the top of my head? He has the longest play in NFL history,
yes.
right?
Yes, the block...
Missed field goal return.
Yeah, not the block, the missed field goal. That could have been not only 7 you didn't get, but 7 that they got.
Yeah.
And if not for the hustle of the Patriots offense, particularly 2 tackles... getting 40-plus yards downfield to make sure they didn't allow Cromartie to get all the way down.
The right tackle spot. He's not even on that side of the field.
Because if he gets down the sideline there, he's going to take it. If he gets, if he got past those last two, he's going to be able to cut back and put all kinds of space.
14-10 at the half. You're trailing. Who knows what happens from there? Butterfly effect, you lose.
Huge game. Huge play in the game. Both ways. It could have been 17-7. Could have been 14-10. Huge play.
Greg in Southern Cal.
The video's really good of it.
Greg in Southern Cal says, hello, bickerers. Why don't you all calm down, take a deep breath, try to be objective. The Patriots improved last week. They held the Jets well under their average total yards and passing yards. They made a big deal about getting back to the ground and pound mentality. With that emphasis, they only rushed for 22 yards more than their average. Offense, the Patriots improved from 9th overall in rushing to 6th. The Patriots are still first in total yards and passing yards, and the Patriots are second in points per game. Defense, the pass defense pulled back to the back of the pack, shaved distance from 31st by 41 yards.
They did. I actually was rooting for them to move into 31st place, but they still got a little ways to go.
The rush defense moved up from 18th to 13th in the league, and points allowed moved from 20th to 14th. Calm down. Keep the big picture view. Compared to the amount of suckitude around the league, the Patriots are fine. They are only marginally worse than the Packers in pass defense and sacks. Packers have 3 more sacks, despite the view that they get more pressure than the Patriots. The Patriots are better in most categories, including pass defense. If that is a Super Bowl team, then so are the Patriots.
Wait a minute. The Patriots are better in pass defense? Aren't they 32? How are
passes defense.
Passes defense.
Oh. That's... I'm going to completely ignore the Green Bay part because of its lunacy, but if you weren't listening to the first half hour of the show, I apologize, but all the three of us talked about was that it was a step forward for the Patriots defense on Sunday. And absolutely, someone said, can we use the I word, improvement? And we all agreed, absolutely. There was a lot of improvement on Sunday.
Adam in Nebraska, in answer to Paul's question on the pregame social, I guess you had a question. When someone gives something and then takes it away, that person is called an Indian giver. That concept was used to create the term Indian summer. When we have a summer-like weather for a week, then it is taken away.
If that is accurate, then that is an offensive
term.
That's
not true, though.
I don't know that to be accurate.
The Indian summer is that you know, with the crops, I from what I was taught, it was the crops. They had that one extra, you know, time of growing. You know,
what does that have to do with the Indians?
Well, you know, they grew their corn and stuff.
If that's true, then it's not offensive. I'm not lending any more credence to that theory than the previous one, however, because
I don't know either.
I don't know where it came from.
I just know it was an Indian summer, and I was swimming in the ocean yesterday.
It
was phenomenal.
I had mentioned at the start of the show that we were enjoying just a beautiful day and that it was a bit of Indian summer.
That's what they call it.
To which Andy looked at me as if I just had used, you know, I don't know.
Is,
a really
it
bad
could
term.
Be. Maybe they think it's offensive.
It just
if
sounds
it,
to me like something.
But if it is, I want to apologize because right. I didn't mean it to be offensive
Doesn't it
in
sound
any way.
Like something the PC police would not be okay with?
Well, the Indian giver one might be.
Wait a minute. Being an Indian giver is absolutely offensive.
There's
and
a whole
I can see
Seinfeld
that.
Show about it.
Yes.
Remember that one?
Yes, yeah. I do. And I could see that. And if the origins of Indian summer are accurate to the way that emailer portrayed, then Indian summer is offensive, too, because you're giving and you're taking away.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that. I thought it was...
Shouldn't it have been an Indian fall? Because then the fall came for a couple of days and you took it away and gave summer back.
Also, I don't really like the Chicago Bears, and it is much more fun to watch Merriweather in a Bears jersey as the team got beat by a Lions that is looking pretty good.
Oh, Merriweather, you're just seeing the low lights. If you watched the whole game, you'd see he's a pretty good safety.
Paul in London, hey, gents, long time since I emailed in. Is Revis one of the best corners of all time? Mm. Is he destined for Canton?
Yes.
I think if he keeps it up, yeah.
He's pretty good.
How screwed would the Patriots have been if we hadn't picked up Brian Waters?
I think they'd be all right.
They'd
only
be worse.
Only because they always are with offensive linemen, but...
And I'd be betting that Cannon would play.
He's been huge.
I think this is the week that we see some more blitzes and pressures. No real running threat. Time to get after Romo in a game. Pick one, taking into account future and contract. Branch or Chad?
Branch.
This is, I guess, for next year, right?
I'd actually like to see them move on from both.
Connolly or Copen? Copen's got versatility. Younger.
He does.
Connelly.
I mean, Connelly has versatility.
Yeah.
And he's younger. Tough one.
Copen, because he's Brady's friend.
I think Copen's a better player, but I think Connelly will stay.
Cunningham or Anderson?
I think Paul started the right trend. I think neither is the correct answer to most of these.
I think Cunningham.
Cunningham, because he's younger.
Younger.
And finally, Arrington or Bodden?
Bodden. I still think he's a better player.
I agree. I think they'll both be here, though. Why would you? You know, I don't see any reason why you have to get rid of.
I think it's just who would we?
Yeah. I mean, I think Branch would offer more to return than Ocho, but I think it's. They're going to need to find some new guys that know the system.
Taylor Price.
No, enough of this. You know? Oh, they're going to need to find some new guys.
They need to know the system? Sorry. My guy's out.
I don't know.
Well, when you continue to draft receivers and then not develop them, that's the situation you get in.
Have you ever noticed the big games that Branch has now always involve at least a player or two where the other team wasn't ready?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
That's good. There was one play.
Why is that good?
There was one play last week on Sunday where the Jets had like four.
This is that philosophical difference. You want to trick people and hope that someone's not ready. I want Bo Jackson who can run over, around, or through you.
I want both.
Both.
Why can't you have both?
Like Tabucky.
Well, because usually one doesn't come with the other. You know why they don't cover Deion Branch? Because he took 2 weeks off and they didn't need to cover Deion Branch.
There was one play where the Jets defense had like 14 guys on the field, and guys were running off, but the Patriots just weren't ready to take advantage of it.
Yeah, that was fun because there wasn't even anybody coming off, and they got called for too many men. And then they had the play that they hit Benny for like 13 yards when no one was out there on him. They just.
But my point is that doesn't happen with Calvin Johnson, because as soon as the defense breaks the huddle, somebody's job is to find Calvin Johnson. Nobody's job is to find Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, or Deion Branch.
Or
John Connor.
Right.
Right. I loved when he dropped that pass because all I can think of is that Hard Knocks with, you know, Rex Ryan just gushing over him. You know how
did my little line?
He terminated the
John Connor
drive.
Terminated the drive by dropping Sanchez's pass.
There you go.
Did you like my where sentence?
No. What was that?
I had a sentence that I tried to annoy Paul with, but he didn't. I thought he was going to delete it. I said Brady would have to be aware where is
aware where is
where DeMarcus where is, and I wanted him to get mad and. Change it.
If you want to look like a buffoon, that's your prerogative.
Oh, they're just words. They mean the proper thing. I'm not like Eric where I'm using big words. I don't know what they mean.
Oh, I didn't change it. There was no need to change that.
I'm not a...
Obviously, Fred was asleep, but he would have.
You never notice when I say, did you notice? And he goes,
No. It really makes me wonder what
you do.
Do you
read the paper?
I catch something on every page.
Yeah, but that rule that
but
I
do you
have?
Really catch something or do you change for the sake of
change? No, you look at the correction.
I have many times and I always shake my head. Like, what's the difference?
You do have some of those. It's your personal style and it's your paper, so it's fine.
Like what?
I can't give you an example off the top of my head.
But do you have a rule like you have to find something on a page?
No.
Because I do.
I would love to not find things.
Like even the stat pages, I search and then once I find one, okay, I can pass it along. I did my job. I found one.
Those are the,
and then he'll come back and say, well, you found that, but you missed this obvious one up here. My rule is I find one. I didn't say I was going to get all of them.
I forget, that happened this week. There was something, like, ridiculously egregious.
And I had circled,
and
like, a
comma. And he had circled something
that,
else. I'm like, you caught this, and you missed that?
You know, we're not really editors.
Yeah, that's not my strong suit.
We do our best.
This is what Fred says. You're the editor, Paul!
Well, he's the director of modern content, and he doesn't know anything modern about
modern content. It's a new ABC show.
Hey, Freddie. We got our last probably Ace Ticket call or Ace Ticket Hotline caller of the day.
And they want UMass tickets.
Big Daddy from Georgia.
Hey, Big Daddy.
Probably not.
Are you interested in the UNH?
Yeah, you're going to be here?
Game?
Hey. How you guys doing?
Good. You want to go to the UMass UNH game?
No.
Okay. I do, Fred. How can I win?
Do you know anybody up here who might want to?
No.
Okay.
I'm calling from Georgia. I'm in Savannah.
All right.
I didn't know if you had friends.
I like Savannah. Is the Pirate's House still operating?
Oh, yeah.
I love that place.
Is that
a
restaurant?
Did you used to live there, too?
I've passed through.
I've dabbled.
I've passed through Savannah several times.
So you rooted for the Falcons for a short stretch or the Braves?
No. What do you got, Big Daddy?
Hey, guys. Great win this weekend. Great win. I was a little nervous when Cromartie intercepted that ball and took it in. I was about to take it, and I was a little nervous off that, but it was a great win. Defense held up pretty good. What do you guys think?
Well, we've been talking about it. We
with you all,
we
around.
All agree that the defense took a step. It's nowhere near what they need to be to win playoff games, but
they showed some improvement. So we're happy with that.
One other thing, too. Now, I think we might be looking past Dallas a little too much, but I think Rob and Rex are going to be on the phone. I think they're going to come up with some schemes because, you know, Rex really wants to beat us.
Oh, absolutely.
So Brother Rob is going to probably be putting together some schemes. So I think that game is going to be tougher than a lot of people think.
Oh, I'm not looking past that game. Have you detected anybody? What makes you think we're looking past the Cowboys?
Well, just a lot of my Patriot fans, friends, just talking about this is a gimme game, and I think it's going to be a tough game.
No way.
And I know Bill O'Brien said there'll be no sleep in Gillette this week because you've got a lot to prepare for.
You don't know. I mean,
new team, too.
DeMarcus Ware can absolutely wreck a game for you.
And all the weapons on offense.
Everyone talks about Witten and Dez Bryant and Romo, but I think that Miles Austin is that kind of dangerous player that can come up with a big number game. And
right.
It can also hurt and probably we'll have a tough time matching up with because of the attention we're paying on Witten and Dez Bryant.
It's all up to the Cowboys' offensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Cowboys' offensive line plays reasonably well, they're going to move the ball and score.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. You guys like Ben Jarvis Green? I think we need to keep – he reminds me of Corey Dillon. We need to keep mixing it up and run the beast sometimes.
I do not care about everybody else the numbers.
Yeah, I like him more this week than I did last week, but I'm still not sold that he is a Corey Dillon type long-term franchise back. I like him. He had a great game.
I
loved the game. I loved the 8 yards. I don't care whether it was against sub-defense or not. I don't care if Rex Ryan didn't think there was any chance they'd run the ball or not. It was a good game, but I'm still not sold he's the guy. The guy.
All right, well, thanks for the call, Big Al. John Rook's here because he's getting ready for the playbook. John, how you doing?
Excellent.
Do you want to go to the UMass game?
No.
Okay. But
why? Do you have tickets?
Yeah,
they won't give them to me, John.
They won't give them
to
you?
A four-pack for you and three friends.
Maybe you can give them away during your show.
Okay.
To, like, a caller that knows what Tuesday shows are called. On the playbook.
or a caller.
Or a caller, period.
Because that would put you one up on us.
Because we didn't get a caller who actually wanted to go.
And so, I know you want to see what good football looks like after this past weekend.
Oof,
you,
yeah, that was brutal, wasn't it?
I thought I turned the clock back a couple of years, Oof. Though. It's McCoy to, why can't I think of his name again?
Shipley.
What? Yeah. Maybe Mac Brown, if you went to different homes to recruit people, you'd get better players.
I think you're going
to
be all right.
They'll be okay.
I think you're going to be all right.
They played 19 true freshmen. Against,
you mean in the future?
Against a
team.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
They played 19 true freshmen against a team that's
ahead of
very
this
senior
year.
Laden.
They were supposed to stink this year.
And
that
I told,
was their first loss.
For the record, I told Strippers last
Talking
week his
Texas
team would win.
Here.
Yes. I told his team that he would have no problem.
Yeah, so, I didn't expect it to be that bad.
No, I don't think anybody did. But I think, you know, sometimes young kids get shell-shocked. That's just the way it is. You learn by going out there and doing, and now they'll be ready for it. But they're going to get spanked again this weekend by Oklahoma State.
Absolutely.
So.
All right, well, we got
a learning experience. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
We got to go shoot our PFW TV show.
Shoot it.
John, have a good 2 hours. And then, of course, Pete Shepard comes up at 4 o'clock, and you know he'll be giddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, he'll be giddy.
Yeah, they'll be a hat.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.